This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh, you've been accused of sometimes giving too much to us. Friday, yesterday, we probably had one of the most fun 8 into 9 o'clock hours I think we've ever had here on the show. Definitely, Mike, you would agree, top 3 moment of the year?
Yeah, unless we somehow do something better in the next couple months here.
And Lord knows we'll strive for it, but by God, the bar was set high, as you revealed that occasionally, from time to time, when you have to withdraw yourself to go to the bathroom, as we all do as men.
Yeah.
That guy just sort of box turtles up in there.
That's right. It can take a while to get out. Well, it took a while to get out one time this past week.
Like fishing a pimento out of an olive, just trying to get that little bugger out of there. And, you know, you also have to withdraw oneself prior to the act of coitus. Has there ever been a time in the room amongst the fellas here that you just knew that it was about to be on, and he was not looking like he needed to be? Just like, hey, I'm going to take care of you for a little bit and see if homeboy here wakes up. Because if I show you this acorn going on down there right now, you're going to laugh, maybe give me a fist bump and leave.
I'm telling you right now, there has never been an occasion when relations are about to happen where before those pants came off, I wasn't completely at attention.
Really?
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Hit 30, dude. Hit 30 and you need to negotiate with your penis.
You need to get a little more life responsibility. That'll knock that sucker down.
Yeah, yeah. Fart out a couple of kids
get
or have
a mortgage.
Some second family in Canada that Josh is funneling all his cash to go ahead and,
get a mortgage and some financial problems. You just decimate your wiener.
I guess it's a good problem to have.
Your penis also worries about your finances.
Yes,
at some point, your penis is as worried about your 401k as you are. Because there's a couple of times, you know, Buck decides to bestow upon me the blessing, and it takes me way longer. I mean, I've joked about it before, but I'm not joking. I sometimes got to hit up my friends at Chesapeake Urology and get myself the old Cialis prescription just in case. You've never had a failure to launch?
Never.
God, you're virile.
I'm listening to you. Wow.
I've talked about
Scott needs to, because he has like an above-ground swimming pool's worth of blood to fill that thing up with. I have no excuse.
Yeah, I guess I'm lucky that I'm wired that way. It's just, like I said, it is a problem because I'll get spontaneous ones a lot, and you have to deal with that. But yeah, when it comes to the bed stuff, it's always ready to go.
The old Pearl Harbor sneak attack one, huh? When it shows up out of nowhere?
Like, typically, even after things are done, I can keep going.
He's just not ready for the party to be over?
Jeez.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Oh, here comes Josh's lunch. All right, we had what can only be described as one of the most funny, revealing Spiegel moments of the show possibly ever coming up on a very special Christmas edition of Behind the Curtain.
We all have gross habits. Yes, and a new survey set out to uncover those disgusting habits most people hide from others. In a lot of cases, people really enjoy doing these gross habits. Here is some of the findings. Nearly 40% of people say they've smelled used underwear to see if they could wear it again.
Check. Oh, check. Copy that.
What?
Stop. I mean, when in doubt, just wash it.
Stop it.
Look, as dirty
don't
as I am.
Sit in the corner and be stupid. You know you've done it.
Well, you do the visual inspection first, okay? Is there any debris? And then you go in for the quick, all right, these will work.
Yes. More than 90% of men and women,
whoa,
it's actually more women than men, but both are over 90%, say they enjoy smelling their own farts.
Check.
Copy that.
And for both men and women, farting after waiting to be alone is their most satisfying gross behavior.
Of my own brand.
Other most satisfying gross behaviors, picking an irritating booger.
Check.
Watching a blackhead pop.
Check.
Check.
Picking off your dead skin.
Check.
I don't really do that.
A lot of sheets at a time.
Peeing in the shower.
Check.
Oh, are you kidding me, man? You're talking something that'll in the shower if I live by myself.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, all of those are in the top 10. My father once accused me of peeing in the shower, and it became a huge fight. I said, there's no way. I don't do that. And he said, well, the shower smells like somebody peed in it. And I said, no, it wasn't me. Okay.
You think he was trying to pass the buck?
I don't know.
Hiding in plain sight?
You know, it's a
You've never
terrible
peed
childhood.
In the shower?
No, never. Ever.
Ever!
Oh. Josh, I will... I'm gonna make you an offer. I want you to come over. I'm taking the whole family to dinner, and you can pee in my shower. Just to know what you've been missing out on. When's the last time you peed outside?
Oh.
I've never met a man that didn't prefer to pee outside. That natural feeling, you see the steam rising off in the middle of a crisp November day. Oh, yeah.
7 years old, behind a gas station, as my family looked on.
Oh, whoa. Gather around, everyone. It's time for the reveal.
I just don't get why your dad singled you out and not your sister.
Well, they used a different shower.
So you had a men's and a women's shower in your house?
No, just a couple different bathrooms.
I need a blueprint of this house.
You're the strangest person I've ever met.
I need a blueprint. This
just seems weird that you used...
They used a different bathroom.
I mean...
What is so weird about that?
I mean, my sister and I both used the same shower. It just seems odd that...
Same time. Any help, sis?
Did you... You had a men's and women's shower?
What?
Ooh.
Well, it's not a leap knowing Josh.
Josh, when's the last time you farted in the shower? Let that thing steam up real nice?
I don't remember ever doing that.
Josh Spiegel, I want you to take my house. And I want you to do all the things you've always wanted to do in a house.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to do any of that stuff, Josh.
I don't know. Farting in the shower.
You're assuming he wants to do that.
I want him to do it.
I want him to do it, too. Trust me.
One other thing, gross behavior that nearly half of Americans admitted to.
Ugh, like kissing a girl.
Playing with your pubic hair in a non-sexual manner.
Okay, I don't do that one. Like twirl it around your fingers?
Yeah, that would fall under that.
Ah.
Yeah, no. Why play with that when you got the other thing right next to that?
Yeah, why are you fidgeting around with the parsley when the steak's right there? What are you doing? You got to get to the main event, not focus on the trailer. Ah, and I mean, Josh, you got to see in a photo shoot, unfortunately, last week that I am in... overdue for getting a bit of a trim, but never have I gotten to that lengthy to where I can like make little dreadlocks with it.
Right. Well, mine looks like ivy growing on a wall.
Oh yeah. All right, we got to see.
Okay, I figured something out here too. You have the fabled hair satellite. Let me explain. We saw you without your shirt on. Okay, you have shoulder hair. Yeah. That goes over your shoulders like a backpack of fur. It connects to the chest hair and leads to one of the most glorious happy trails I've ever seen. It heads right down on into your Margaret Thatcher. It heads on around back where the deliveries are made. Milk, milk, lemonade around the backs where fudge is made. Then has to go up your back and the back reconnects to the shoulder. You have a perfect satellite of hair.
Oh, really? Okay.
It completely connects. It's like a Mobius strip of felt.
I didn't know.
It's amazing. It's like if you took an Amish beard and then did a sideways mohawk, you'd have the satellite dish.
Yeah.
It was a spectacle, man. You have one of the best happy trails I've ever seen.
Oh, you're just saying
that. I'm not just saying that. I've seen it. You can go to @JSS98Rock right now and take a look at it. It's going to be on the new Uncensored 4 shirt. I'm looking right at this thing. Josh, it's... How defined is that happy trail? It's 2 feet long.
How old were you?
Happy trail.
It's like the Ho Chi Minh Trail of Jewish sex.
When did that grow in, Spiegs?
I remember having it in college, but it looked better when I was slim.
Look at that thing. It's like Brock Lesnar's sword tattoo, except like it's made of wheat.
Oh, enough about me.
God bless you.
Enough about me.
Pee in my shower.
Yeah, somebody texted in and said there are two types of people: those that pee in the shower and those that admit to peeing in the shower, and then liars.
No, there may be three people because I don't do it. Well, why would I do it when the toilet is right next to
it? Satisfying,
yeah,
man.
Because what happens is you don't have to go until you're in the shower and the water hits you and the sound and the warmth that makes it triggers something.
I'm so
you go,
used to
I really gotta pee right now. And then instead of getting out and you're all wet, you just go where you're standing.
I'm so used to going in the bathroom before I go into the shower, though.
Oh, okay.
And then my problem is I've taken my underwear off already, and, you know, I might make a mess walking to the shower.
We need to talk about your
floor.
Recent medically required daily evacuation when you were on one knee on marble steps. Get the actual out of here with that.
I was on two knees.
Josh, when he had to do his medically required evacuation, so his prostate doesn't get backed up and inflamed, was on two knees on the steps.
Because I have no privacy anymore. That dog is everywhere.
God. What were you looking at?
The window, nature.
The bathtub.
Josh gets off to nature. He's looking out at a ficus tree and just like, God.
And it was painful. It wasn't, it's not like you're kneeling on carpet. You're kneeling on a hard step.
You're like some weird monk paying penance.
How do you end,
Because
okay, I get it. You got a freaking dog that's a maniac.
I make the
How do you end up in that position? I know exactly what your bathroom, that's where you chose, that's how you did.
Because a few days before.
Zero sense.
A few days before I sat. And I don't like how it feels when I sit.
It's cool. Is it too cold?
No. I mean, when you're
in the
whole
act.
The whole process, okay?
When you're in the middle
I'm
of
not
the whole
used
thing.
To that. I'm used to lying on my back.
You ever thought about like just the three-point stance on the counter right there, kind of getting that three-pointer?
No.
Tripod?
I think the gravity does something.
No. You ever thought about that?
No, no. I'd have to climb up to the
people
on the counter.
Tweet in your favorite positions to do so in. Women and men. You ever try to do one of these right here? Josh, watch this. You ever do this? I've done this. All right. You do this. You put your feet up on the wall.
God.
Just like that.
I think I did that once.
Whoa, really?
I think a long time ago.
Because I was just kidding.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
So was I. So was I.
I mean,
whoopsie.
I'm just joking around.
You just admit to something?
Whoa.
So I was joking around.
I love my own brand of fart, but not that.
Okay. Can we move on?
Copy that.
Jeez. I don't mean to
that
be the...
so hot.
Somebody texted says they have a weird habit of tweezing their pubic hair.
Ooh. What? Are you toning for something?
Boink. Oh.
Last night's winning lottery numbers, pick 3, 177, pick 4, 7262, bonus match 5, 21, 31, 33, 36, 39, bonus ball 25, drawings on channel 11. I have something else to say,
okay.
But I don't know if I should say it.
Say it. It's your show, brother.
No, it's not my
show. It's our show, but it's yours.
Do you ever get into a situation where your thing gets stuck, like... You, I don't know, like it comes inside you. It's like it kind of retreats.
That your genitalia will sort of recess in cold water.
Yes.
You splash into the water and things tend to change a little bit. I mean, so, to an extent.
Yeah, not, it doesn't happen often, but I
How
went,
far in we talking?
I got home
oh,
yesterday.
No. Oh, no.
And I had to go to the bathroom. As you know, I sit down. And I just, I really had to go. And it, and I take off my pants, and it's inside of me. It's like so far inside, and I'm like, bam! I'm trying to bash it out of my body, and I could, because if you don't, there's going to be a mess everywhere. Not that that's happened before. I've read about it. And so it took like 30 seconds to get it out.
Oh my God!
I want all this audio. I want all of it. Oh man.
Doesn't that happen to all guys?
You are a gift.
Doesn't that happen to all guys?
No. You are a gift.
If you're like if you're sitting too long or
Oh my God.
This, what?
Who would have thought on one of the final days of September we would be gifted? Gifted.
What? Let me be clear. I have a penis. Okay? I just was probably sitting for a long time yesterday and was cold.
Clear the schedule.
Oh,
Save all of this.
Uh,
I'm seeing stars.
Why?
This has never happened to you.
Oh, my God!
What?
I mean, right out of the ocean. There's been, obviously, the old shrinkage.
Yeah.
But never during a regular day do I got to go and fish him out of hiding.
There's a term for that.
Like a catfish. Like one of those people that fish catfish.
It's called noodling. You got a noodle for your own penis.
Josh has to noodle his penis out. He has to hire some redneck to come on, get on out of there. We're going to get this son of a bitch. I'm going in after it. Come on, where's that weenus? Come on, weenus. Where are you at, weenus? That is one of the greatest things you've ever told me.
Oh, there's a whole forum on men's health, Speak. Do you want me to send you the link?
Sure. No, I don't want to read that.
What do you mean?
Okay, fine.
It's men's health.
Get me
it's
my
not
blood
freaking
pressure
meds. Porn.
Oh, yeah, it's just a little jiggling. But it is annoying. It definitely is annoying.
Men's hole.
It's only happened like twice, okay? I'm not a woman.
No, I know you're not a woman. I saw you in your underwear. Trust me, boy, you're all man. I thought you were trying to steal a billiard set downstairs last week. Like, what is happening there? Are those things? Is that a gourd?
Yeah. I don't know how that happens, though. I probably should read how that happens because then I can prevent it.
Yeah. Maybe like a harness of some sort to keep the little fellow from retreating.
You know, my penis has probably just given up. It's gone. It's, like you say, retreated.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
All right, so here we go. Continuation of a conversation on Wednesday. Study came out. We read it off about what year you lost your virginity. It's usually between 13 and 19. Scale of 1 to 10. 1 being a chihuahua having a seizure on top of a Vienna sausage. 10 being the hottest new acquisition for Vivid Video. How do you think you did?
Performance?
Yeah, performance-wise.
Not good. Like, scale of 1 to 10, like a 4 or 5. Wasn't
terrible.
Oh,
wow. That's way better than mine.
It was what it was.
I'm going to give myself about a 2. I'm going to say it lasted, no exaggeration, probably, four dips of the chip into the salsa.
Oh, my God.
not it was a brief encounter, like a cat. You know, cats have sex very quickly. So do their owners.
Yeah, back then, what I would do, because obviously, like everybody else, you know, things ended quickly, but I was able to maintain, so I wouldn't say anything. And I would just keep going.
Really?
And to the point where they're like, I would never tell them that anything happened. So they thought that they couldn't get it done and they would get self-conscious.
Yeah, put it on them.
Backfired on you.
Make them feel bad.
And they try harder.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think it was a good strategy.
Oh, good strategy.
Let me teach you a trick of mine, Michael. This happened once when, let's just say, right as the car was pulling into the garage, you ran out of gas. And I mean, over. You can't see it. The live wire camera's off, but it was basically this, and we're done. So I reach, and obviously I use protection, unlike myself in my 30s, and I realize I'm screwed here. I don't know what to do. I can't tell her that there can't be any quicker sex than that. It was just once. So I reach down, and I slightly tear the edge right at the base of the condom. And I look down and go, oh, no, it ripped. We have to stop. Like, what, you don't have another one? No, it was my only one. You want to go to Jerry's Subs and Pizza? We went to Jerry's and ate cheesesteaks.
What would you guys think about, too? That was another strategy to, I mean, they always joke about the, you know, whatever baseball team or what have you.
Yeah, the 86 Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Tuffle, Daryl Strawberry, Gary Carter. Dwight Gooden.
What?
Is that what you're talking about?
What's the question? Yeah.
A strategy to keep to prolong yourself. You would think about other things.
Oh. I completely misunderstood. I thought you said describe your penis as a baseball team. Like
no, you would think about it. I would recite the 86 Mets in my head.
Oh, I would do grandmother knitting.
I'd always go to the last funeral I was at.
Oh,
and Jesus, you had to go real more, man.
I had to go extreme, trust me.
I'm so worked up. I'm thinking of my Nana. Yes. Scott's thinking of MLB. You're thinking of corpses. A good conversation. We had a laugh. You chimed in with some pretty depressing, funny, rain-soaked tales on when you lost your virginity on Behind the Curtain. Michael Anderson, why don't you go ahead and read this little something-something you found, you naughty little minx.
You little slut.
It has caught my eye this morning.
Skank.
As I was looking through the news. Because it's something I don't think we've ever really discussed on this program, and it's a big part of everybody's lives. It's a survey that reveals when folks did it for the first time. Overall, most people did it for the first time between the ages of 13 and 18. A response of 52% of females and 49% of males. After that, the most common age range was between 18 and 23. That's where I fall. Which was the response of 38% of females and 34% of males.
Oh, surveys are so hot.
The least common age ranges, only 2% of females and 5% of males say they lost it before the age of 13. While 8% of women and 12% of men were over the age of 23 when they had sex for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is sort of out of nowhere. I got a tweet from our buddy Jim online. He says he was 18 when he lost his, and she is now a he. And he is still one of my best friends. We might need to talk to Jim about that. Because, I mean, we had the one girl that I hooked up with forever ago, but I was in my 20s, and she underwent a transition when we did that whole bit. Justin had sex with a man, and then we ended up calling him afterwards and found out that she was a cute little half-Korean, half-Hawaiian back when I was smashing it.
Yeah.
By smash, I mean undulate lightly on top of for a minute and a half. Oh, wow. Good on you, Jim.
Hey, look, he can't control that. He just was doing what he had to do when he was younger, and then she did what she had to do and became a he.
Yeah.
Became still
their
friends.
Their true God self.
Hey, dude. Hey, brother, remember that one time he was you? That was rocking.
I mean, I'm just curious. Like, so we're going to open up the phone lines, 410-338-1098, because it seems like anything between the ages of 13 and 18 is kind of just... standard.
Yeah, standard.
So what are we shooting for?
Yeah, we're shooting for the outliers.
Yeah. I mean, are we shooting for 39. Like below 13? Because that's just creepy.
No.
That's creepy. Or do we go, are we shooting for 40-year-old virgins? I don't know where we're going.
Definitely looking consensual. Definitely don't want any horrible stories.
Well, if you're both young, then
there
it's
I was,
consensual.
Locked in a shed. None of that. I don't want to hear about you being rescued from a shipping container. I want to hear about two kids playing grab ass in the woods.
Yeah, right. I was a bit of a late bloomer. I waited till 21. And at that point...
You
at
didn't
that
wait, Mike.
Oh, well, I don't know. It wasn't like I was fending women off with a stick. Trust me.
You was fending them off.
That's what I'm saying. You weren't waiting if you could have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
yeah. You were like, nah.
Well, no, I will say, initially I was, I went to church in the Sunday school when I was younger, and they scared the hell out of me about having premarital sex. Long enough for me to, it took me till about age 19, 20, where I'm like, okay, it's time. I'm not getting freaking married before I'm having sex.
Yeah, it's go time.
Having sex immediately.
Yeah, my big hang-up was...
3 years after that for me to do it.
And my big hang-up was just, like, insecurity with performance.
Uh-huh.
But back then, nobody really knows what they're doing, except the one slut maybe in the school.
Yeah.
And the one man whore.
The one man whore, the one slut. Slut knows no gender. Yeah, yeah.
And my big hang-up was, like, the performance insecurity and... yeah, they also... That was back when AIDS was, really kind of... a big thing.
Everyone had it.
Right?
Everyone
convinced.
Had AIDS in the 80s.
I was so scared. I was like, going to get something.
This was mine. This was mine right here. Wheeler is singing to me.
Met you in the dark down by the creek.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. There wasn't a creek. It was more of a dumpster.
Mess around until we got cold feet.
Summers in Waldorf.
Summers in the Waldorf, they were hard to beat.
Yeah, mine... Mine came at the age of 14.
Oh, God.
And then I didn't have sex again until I was 18. It was a weird outlier, and I was kind of taken. I wasn't, like, fighting it off, but, it was just, we were in a hot tub.
It's got to make things worse, though, right? When you've actually experienced it, and then you have to go through such a drought like that.
It wasn't great. It wasn't this thing where I'm like, oh, man, that was awesome. It was just like, oh, man, she just sat on top of me. And then I ran inside to continue playing Genesis, the Sword of Vermilion. Yeah, and then, but when it came time again at 18, disaster. Just a fumbling, stupid idiot. Like, all right, let me see. Sorry. Oh. Yeah, it's not like it's gotten much in the way of better.
I mean, at least our generation, at least we had readily available internet porn to kind of give you an idea what you needed to do.
Mine did not. We had the printed page and the lies told in Hustler's letters to the editor.
Yeah, just imagine growing up in the 60s when you really, finding porn was probably next to impossible.
Dude,
at that age.
Imagine growing up even before that when you got married to have sex. Like, yeah, premarital was frowned upon. You weren't just, okay, maybe if you were like in the Navy and you're hooking up in some sort of weird Sicilian brothel somewhere when you're on duty, but like, you got married probably just to procreate and hook up. And like you said, the fear of God that they put in you, Josh, I ask you, when you were younger, did like, when you were in, what's your version of Sunday school? I'm sorry, what do they call that?
It was just Jewish school, because I went to Jewish school every day.
Every day.
For at least until high school.
Did they scare you guys?
Yeah, of course.
What sort of like horror stories did they tell you or to convince a young Josh Spiegel, you better keep your hands out of her panties?
I seem to remember one time hearing that if you have premarital sex, that you would go to hell and be hung upside down by your feet as worms crawled in your mouth.
Wow.
Whoa.
Is that a real thing?
The Jews go hard.
I don't know if the teacher was just riffing.
Just kind of shooting from the hip.
Kind of made that one up on the fly.
Just went a little too far.
You will go to hell, and when you are down there, some, let's just say a demon, will take you and will put you upside down.
I don't think it's... I think he went a little far with that. But
and the worms. Yeah. The worms.
I think that really in some people can instill... I'm not bashing religion. I mean, I just think that in some people, in vulnerable people, maybe like me, just certain, like, scaring people can have a lasting effect.
Oh, yeah.
But... I have a long sexual history.
Rock solid.
Yeah,
boy.
Definitely.
You should see what he makes and what his take-home is because of all the child support this dude's paying out there. Just thousands a week. Getting with your point, though, about the religion. Yeah. There was a couple of girls that were up to no good trying to grab some peens around the neighborhood. The religious ones. The girls that went to Catholic school. The guys that went to Catholic school. Those are the ones that were hooking up before anyone.
Yeah, they rebel.
Not like the goth kids or the metalheads or the Hessians or the jocks or, you know, the wannabe hard asses. It was the ones that was the forbidden fruit made you want it more. That is a nation. Tell us not to do something, want something, smoke something, drink something. If you definitely tell us not to something, that's all we're going to want to do. And they were the ones that immediately were getting down on that. Oh, my God. Look at all this. People are pouring in right now. I was 18 and I waited a while. I was a late bloomer. I didn't because I didn't have any hair down there.
Oh, wow. Oh. Whoa, I never even thought of that. What happened? You didn't have any hair down there?
You were embarrassed about it. Oh, my God. You didn't have any fuzz on them peaches. Oh, that's embarrassing. I was 14. She was 18, but due to my height, I passed as 18.
Still with the girl I lost my virginity to. Lost it at 16. Never been with anyone else.
Kai says 16. I'm with the beauty I'm still with now.
Yeah, but how old is Kai? Like, that's
Kai's
the thing.
17.
Yeah, you can't.
What if Kai was 58?
I mean, look, maybe you can, right? Like, have sex with one person your entire life. But how do you...
One gender your entire life? Yuck.
10 years, you know, like 5 years in, 6 years in, 10 years, and you haven't, you know, explored and sowed your oats. Don't you start to get that itch?
You got to start to get that itch down there, and according to Josh's news, it's probably chlamydia. Adam and Eve, the online retailer. You buy like one product, they'll send you 4,000 videos for free sometimes. They asked 1,000 adults to reveal the age when they got down and dirty for the first time. Most people did it between the ages of 13 and 18. Responses, 52% of females, 49% of males. That seemed to be the age range, between 13
I'm
and
in there.
18.
Towards the higher end.
Yeah, I'm at the low end and the high end. I was 14 first time, 18 when it began to happen with some kind of regularity. Maybe a once a year thing. So we ask you, 14.
I was just thinking, it sucks that you don't have sex when your libido is the highest. And then the older you get, the more you have, but it's, you know, it's not there. I mean, you think back to, like, I was so freaking charged up on a daily basis.
So virile. God, I just want to smash!
Text from Mike says, lost his at 19, got married, still together strong, two beautiful daughters later, and don't feel like missed out on anything.
Wow.
So there he was, married the first chick he ever had sex with.
Frank Webb says, I lost my virginity to my teacher when I was 15 years old. Hashtag, I was homeschooled. You got me, Frank. You got me.
34, this Friday.
Whoa!
Shout out, happy birthday.
Congratulations.
Still a virgin.
Oh, no. Mike, bring him on up here. We'll...
Here's somebody who's 22 and has never had sex. Health class is stuck in the back of my mind every time I get close. I bail. All I can think about is disease, pregnancy, and how I only make 16 hours. I can barely feed myself, let alone a kid.
Gotcha. There's workarounds, sir. There are.
Yeah, put on a condom.
Yeah, there's workarounds.
This hole here is the hole where you make.
Let's go ahead and go to the phones for 410-338-1098. Love you, Evan. Let's go to you. So, Mike, you say John?
Yeah, let's start with John in Baltimore.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to John, you little minx. What's up, John?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, John.
Well, I'm sure everybody's familiar with Patterson Park and the Pagoda, correct?
Oh,
of course.
Romance capital of the world.
Well, I think it was between 13 and 14 years old. I was kind of in town there visiting some family friends, and that summer where my two friends had been saying, oh, yeah, they took that step and asked me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've done before. Anyway, we're all over there. Somebody got a hand on somebody's pop's bottle of booze, whatever. So we're in the Pagoda up underneath there years ago and started drinking the whole nine yards. And they brought along, still to this day, in my worst beer goggle night, the most unattractive woman or girl in my life.
Nice.
Well, longer story short, ended up across the street in the back alley of Patterson Park Avenue on my back, and it started raining. This girl had the longest, stringiest, greasiest red hair and acne, and in the middle of this thing, which took no time at all, pouring down rain the whole time, and even at 13 or 14 years old, I'm thinking just how disgusting this whole situation is.
So she's this like acne-covered, greasy-haired slop monster who has you pinned to a wet, rainy alley floor.
Oof.
Yeah, in Patterson Park Avenue. It's just absolutely disgusting. And still to this day, actually today's my 51st birthday.
Still sticks with it, huh?
And still to this day, it is the most disgusting thing I've ever partaken in with those kind of acts.
Well, at least you know your bottom. That's your worst.
Yeah, that's bedrock. There you go.
Well, the worst than that is when I got back to my aunt and uncle's house and walked into the house, they said, What is all over the back of your jacket?
Oh, no.
Well, my jacket was the one that went down on the ground.
Yeah, you were being pinned to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of got the business for having dirt and funk all over the bottom of my jacket from laying it down on this disgusting alley.
I wanted her to walk through the front door and announce, guys, we are in love. Joe and I just did something in the alley, and we are now together forever. Mike, I'm putting him on hold because he smashed a monster. Give him some Monster Mania tickets. Delta Marriott Hotel in Hunt Valley. Let's head back to the phones. Oh, yeah. Let's talk to Steve and Towson. Steve, you little skank. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how old were you when you finally did it?
I was 13.
13?
Getting ready to turn 14.
Oh, my God. Too young. Too young, you kids.
Well, and I was one of the rebel Catholic school kids like you were talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we were all lying, acting like we were experienced, even though we had no clue what was going on. Well, it was supposed to be me and my best friend, his girlfriend, and my girlfriend all coming to my house to hang out. Mm-hmm. Well, my girlfriend canceled, and he ended up getting grounded. We couldn't get word to his girlfriend.
So he said,
make sure she knows what happened to me. So she still comes down. We end up hanging out, walking around. We go to Walmart, and this was the summer when Usher 8701 came out.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, oh, I want this CD so bad. I said, well, I'll get it for you. She said, if you get it for me, you can have whatever you want. And then she puts a box of condoms on the counter, too.
Your heart is getting ready to
story I've ever heard.
Beat through your rib cage, isn't it?
This is your buddy's girlfriend, too. Hell yeah.
So then we go back to my dad's house. My stepmom was there. She was just blocking all the way through.
Get
the door closed. Well, my neighbor across the street, I knew they were on vacation, and they had an old garage out back.
Oh, yeah.
There was a car in the back, a car in there.
So
it broke into the garage.
Yeah.
And made whoopee in the back of the car.
Mike, I'm going to need audio of all this later on. There might be an all-audio 1230 session today. A lot of dirty alleys, back seats of neighbors' cars, Paul's one-legged ass in a Chevette or whatever the hell he was in. Oh, so nice, so nice. Let's go to Lady real quick. Let's go to Lady before we jet here. Sorry, we've only got so much time in the day. Let's go to Brittany. Britt, what's up?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
So I was 14. And
a lot of 14-year-olds banging. I thought I was on an island by myself.
Yeah, so it was like the summer after freshman year of high school, and my boyfriend and I decided we finally wanted to do it for the first time. So we were in my parents' basement, you know, trying to be super quiet.
Yeah.
And so I just got on top and, you know, and then he got a Charlie horse in his leg. And then he starts, like, screaming, and I didn't know what to do, and he didn't know what to do.
Oh,
yeah. Is everything okay, baby?
You ever hear from the person whose first time was, like, amazing and magical?
Ever. It's always like, yeah, I got a Charlie horse in the backseat of a car in Patterson Park.
Yeah, it's always terrible.
But did you, madam?
So we took a break, and then we tried to do it again.
Oh.
And then I got a Charlie horse in my hip.
But didn't the first time hurt for you? Didn't when your hymen was smashed?
Oh my God, Josh!
Sorry, was I too direct?
Answer him.
I honestly don't even remember.
That's a yes.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
I don't think it's any secret that we here in this studio enjoy ourselves a little adult entertainment in one form or another. Lord knows Mike goes to the dark web to find his pornography, and I've never met an Asian dating website that I haven't enjoyed pretending to sign up for. We had a discussion about Playboy magazine after Hugh Hefner passed away, and a lot of famous covers, Sable, China, Jenny McCarthy, others. But dare I say, I never used it, as it were.
I'm not sure I can say the same. I can't say for a fact, but I'm pretty sure there was a time and a place where it was, you know,
got
the job done.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Come on.
I mean, my dad had a variety. I mean, that's where I got him from. I obviously stuck into my dad's stuff, but if I've got two copies of a Playboy and then there's a swank in a high society underneath of it, which tends to take you way more behind the curtain. That's what I sort of enjoyed myself to.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the tamest
porno
mags there is, or was.
It's only one step beyond a Maxim, really. And which, I got to wonder, too.
Well, that's why Maxim and all them kind of put them out of business.
Yeah, they really did. And didn't they try and become a Maxim recently? And then they went back. Nudity, then some nudity again.
I don't think a name we mentioned in the break coming up, you'll hear. We kind of just go down memory lane of some of the most memorable Playboy covers of our childhood. Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah. That was a huge
one. She was huge for them.
Huge. Anna Nicole Smith. Did Gabby Reese do it? Did Gabrielle Reese, volleyball player, do it? I feel like in my head, like maybe I wanted her to do it.
I don't know. In my research, I didn't see her name. I did see Cindy Crawford. Remember mm-hmm. Cindy Crawford?
Remember Cindy Crawford?
Oh, what's the other one? The other Tommy Lee. Pamela Anderson was huge back in the day. These were giants on the Playboy cover.
I'm trying to think as to who refused Playboy here. Oh, I know. Jessica Alba turned down Playboy.
Get her out of here.
Yeah, Jessica Alba, Katy Perry, Jennifer Aniston, Kate Upton, and boy, oh, Stacey Keibler would have been the one. Local girl, long legs all the way up to the bottom of her butt.
I tell you what, if you're looking for new material for your 12:30 time, Playboy does a great show called Swing. And it's like a swingers house set. Like a new couple comes every week and it shows them doing like their first swing experience.
Where you've seen this?
Oh, yeah. I've watched hours of it. It's on Pornhub. If you just search Swing Playboy.
Oh, Mike, you and I need to have a discussion about when you and I talked about enjoying ourselves yesterday. Yeah. That's a whole other can of worms I got opened up.
Also, another show called Triple Play about people doing a threesome for the first time, which is also
that's
great.
Cool. Well, at least we get to have these nice live discussions without a mother and son in studio, because we had some people visiting us earlier in the week. This is a live program and definitely not taped directly in front of them. Coming up, Playboy covers. What were some of your most memorable as we remember Hugh Hefner dead at 140?
Hugh Hefner has gone to the Playboy mansion in the sky. Gone too soon at the age of 91. Hefner died peacefully, surrounded by family at the Playboy mansion in L.A. He published his first issue of Playboy in 1953 with Marilyn Monroe as the centerfold. He didn't put a date on the cover. He didn't think there'd be a second issue. Besides the nude pics, Playboy had articles, even interviews with Martin Luther King Jr. and the Beatles. In a 1985 interview with David Letterman, Hef talked about wearing silk pajamas all the time.
Now, explain to me about the pajamas. Do you actually still wear pajamas out in public? Do you wear them at all?
Well, I wear them most of the time, but not when I'm doing.
Now, why do you wear them most of the time?
They're very comfortable. I think I got in the habit of working at home and. And wearing pajamas. And it really wasn't a contemplated, promotional thing. It was just very comfortable. And
you actually still enjoy them?
Yes.
Hefner insisted he was a virgin until he was 21. He leaves behind four kids. He was married three times. Hefner's most recent wife is 31. One woman he dated was Barbie Benton, who was also on Playboy's cover four times.
I felt like a princess, and that was because he treated me like one. He was a gentleman for the nearly 9 years that we were together, and a very big part of my life since then.
Hefner said he grew up repressed to parents who were Methodists. His father was a descendant of William Bradford, the Puritan governor of the Plymouth Colony. Hugh Hefner's dad became Playboy's accountant and treasurer, but never looked at the pictures in the magazine.
God, that'd be like if my dad loved dogs and GoBots. There was a WWE skit back in 2003 where they had this character. He just played this redneck named JB Noble, that they went to the Playboy Mansion. And there's this great story told that, like in that clip you heard, he wore just these silk PJs all the time. He worked at home. The dude just wanted to live in luxury and comfort. God bless you, sir. You're living your best life. And they filmed this funny bit where this guy, Jamie Noble, demanded that he be let into the Playboy Mansion. And as they're filming it, one of the directors says, okay, Hef is here. We can't interrupt him. He's letting us shoot here. So we need you. We're going to shoot it in such a way where we want you to tap what looks to be the doorbell. Just tap next to it. Just hit that, and then we'll add in a sound afterwards. He doesn't get that direction, and he's up there smacking the button repeatedly while Hef is trying to have like a conversation with like the NFL commissioner at the time or something like that. And meanwhile, there's some redneck WWE star downstairs. Dang, 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 dang. And yeah, they shot a lot of funny stuff at the Grotto. There's tales told of the Grotto. It's also funny when you listen to some of these wrestler interviews. I got to visit it, that like the Skull and Bone Society, they will not tell you what happened inside of that thing.
What happens to the Empire now?
The Empire.
Was he even still running it?
He was living in the Playboy Mansion.
Well, I remember he sold it, right?
Yeah,
he
sold to Hostess.
Last year.
The maker of Twinkies.
And he was just kind of renting it from them, just still living there or something.
Yeah, the part of the deal was Hefner made the new owner let him, Hefner, live in the Playboy Mansion. The new owner was living next door.
Right.
So that... is let's see what happens to the Empire. His son is
he gonna take over?
Yeah, where okay. is this? It's all in these 7,000 articles.
Seven bedrooms, eight bathrooms, yeah. Wine cellar, home theater, gym, tennis court, and a swimming pool.
That bedroom though is so creepy. It like hasn't been updated since like
run a black light over those sheets
forever. All the VHS tapes like stacked up all around the bed. Nice. You ever like Google images of that bedroom? It's so strange.
Yeah, and he has like back when we thought in the late 80s, rich people wouldn't have a gigantic TV. They'd have 80 TVs stacked up on top of
like
each other
type thing,
like RoboCop.
Yep.
Bitches leave. He had that. He had all these like TVs stacked up on top of one another. But yeah, a little out of date.
It says here in USA Today, Hefner spent his last years ensconced in the faux Gothic splendor of his mansion, despite the fact that it sold in August 2016 to Darren Metropolis, 33, the co-owner of Twinkies maker Hostess. Metropolis lived next door to the Playboy Mansion since 2009 and agreed to buy it with the condition that Hef could remain there to finish out the party that was his quintessentially American life.
You know, there's been tales told about the ladies that he spent time with that, again, rumor and innuendo here, that he, while he had a harem of ladies, like Josh said, a 31-year-old wife, he really wouldn't get down with them very much. He might have some stuff take place in the room as Josh fans himself. Yeah, it's getting steamy in here. But yeah, you'll hear former girlfriends say that he was kind of, shall we say, hands off, but like to kick back in the corner and just enjoy oneself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sort of a bit of a spectator sport in that bedroom. Oh, buddy. Tag me in.
Yes, I suppose.
Hugh Hefner, dead. The age of 91.
Yeah, we asked you, what was your most memorable cover? What did you like the most? Mike, did you ever discover one in your house anywhere? Find one hidden?
If my dad had a stash, he hid it very well. But yeah, I don't really have any memorable Playboys, but a listener just texted in the Cynthia Myers Playboy, which I then Googled. And thank you, listener, for texting that because, oh my.
My computer's frozen.
Reboot me, quick.
This is a Scott.
Hurry up and reboot.
Dude, Scott special?
Look at those breasts.
Whoa, and that's back before fake boobs were like a thing.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Are they fake? I don't know. I mean, I guess they got to be, right? But I've never seen boobs.
No, I don't
like
think they are.
I'm
saying I think that was before fake boobs were really.
Dear God.
I mean, holy crap.
Yeah.
What's
Cynthia
her name?
Myers, people. Google it.
Yeah, it's a fight for second at this point. Those are unique.
How have I never seen this?
Oh, boy. Mike's day turned around. This is a day changer.
This is a game. Yeah, this is a life changer.
Look at those gazoons.
This is going to be the greatest breasts I've ever seen in my life.
Look at the way they sit. It's just, man.
Wow.
God.
I'm not even a boob guy.
I am now.
Those things are going to be 5 pounds a piece.
I'm an ankle guy.
Settle down.
Whoa, okay. A little heavy.
Holy crap.
Mike's getting steamed up. Yeah. There's something in the hormones, man. There's something with food and antibiotics that are just making the human body grow differently.
Yeah, you're 100%.
And the female breast and the male physique have both changed drastically because you ain't seeing those anymore. That's just a different shape. You're seeing big and bigger than those. But that shape is so 60s,
that 70s. 60s, 70s shape.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when they got big, they took on that very specific shape, specific to like the 60s and 70s.
Like the tip of a warhead, like Dr. Strangelove and... ride that damn thing. Or is it Slim Pickens who wrote it? Either way, those breasts look like a nuke. I'm getting a ton of people checking in about the Sable one. Remember Sable?
Don't tell me. Is Sable, was that a wrestler?
Yes, she was. She was it in WWE.
I can't get on any of my computers. Mike, can you reboot this for me when you get a chance? Because I'm not going to be a... It's swinging around. Remind me of Sable, because I'm the other one. The big one I'm getting a lot of was the other wrestler, who was. It was more of a, yeah. It was like, we got to see what this person looks like naked. It was China.
China.
That was a huge issue for
Chinese vaginas.
Men of my age.
Yeah, because everyone was curious about China. It was like, okay, she's a little masculine. Here it is. I mean, here's someone trying to get a bigger copy for it. This is, I mean, that was her. That was Sable right there. She had the black leather. She had the black leather. That was like the number one selling Playboy issue. If it wasn't of all time, it was all time at the time. She ended up doing it multiple times. But then the China one came out and everybody snatched that thing up.
Well, poor Chorsa, where's there?
And my problem with that one, and I loved Playboy, it was great. I read it for the articles, especially about home entertainment hookups. There was so much airbrushing. To where at some point it started looking like a painting. It didn't look like, you know, Mike, you and I dabble on that truck stop porn. You give me an issue of High Society and Swank and I'm doing well, because you could see that zit that's still on their shoulder. Not like a weird hair.
Like
coming
dirty.
Yeah, like a real dirty.
Yeah, so we're talking memorable Playboy issues from your ute.
Let's go to Ted in Ellicott City. Ted, thank you for holding.
Hey, my favorite is Patty McGuire from, I think, 1975. She was Playmate of the Year. Wound up marrying Jimmy Connors.
Wow.
She's freaking hot. She was on their pinball machine.
Oh, yeah, he remembers. He remembers. Yeah,
boy, this is what I'm talking about. Excited. Did you have a copy? Did you steal a copy? Yeah. Was it your dad's?
My mom threw it away years ago. It was horrible.
And your mom threw away your best porno mag.
Dude, if you want to run it back, I mean, if it was that impactful on your life, you could probably find a copy on eBay for, you know, who knows.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, is on eBay.
Is online. Let's go to Ronnie. Oh, just the name Ronnie leads me to believe you guys.
Morning.
Morning, Ronnie. You know something about a Playboy.
When I was 18, well, when I was a kid, I used to think my dad's Playboy's out. But then when I was 18, I put in a subscription to Playboy magazine, and my first Playboy magazine had Dorothy Mays in it, which was from Glen Burnie. She worked in a hair salon in Glen Burnie that was called Head First.
Yay! Where is she now? Where are they now? I
think she's gone now. She passed away or committed suicide or something. Aww. She's gone. But I still have the magazine that has her signature in it. She said, "To Ronnie, my very first signature, da 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 da." I can't remember what it said. Well, but it was pretty awesome. I was all excited back then, 18 years old.
Wow. Thank you for the call, man. I'm going to be looking up a little Dorothy Mays today. Why are all the links I'm finding for Playboy magazines all in freaking Spanish, too?
La como se un papa Dorothy Mays las Playboy del Glen Burnio.
Oh, there she is. Ooh, she's a cutie. Nice strong jaw. She's got that Magnum PI jaw. Let's go to... Oh, it's our friend. It's our friend here, which I'm surprised he ever enjoyed one because he's blind. It's Blind Mike.
Well, it's I used to enjoy him all the time before I could, you know,
gotcha.
But I remember Dorothy Mays. That was a friend. I knew a girl that was her cousin from here in Catonsville. But I still have a bunch of old magazines, like the old ones with Vanna White.
Oh, Vanna White!
Yes! That was a game changer, man.
There you go, dude. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Kim Basinger, Bo Derek, the Madonna ones. I still have them stacked away somewhere.
Collectors items. The big ones for me, I mean, I don't want to ruin any of your calls. I can't see what the screen says.
Thank you, Mike.
She was on MTV and all over MTV and all over other networks. So then when you finally got a chance to see her nude, your head split open. It was Jenny McCarthy.
God! Let's go to Bill and Frederick. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey. What was yours?
Hey, first one I can remember finding that my dad had stashed was right after Three's Company ended, and Suzanne Summers was in.
Yes, here, sir.
That one was a game changer back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's so hot.
I'm looking at the Vanna White one right now, and...
it's good.
12:30 might happen at 9:30.
Remember, checking these out.
I'll take H for hot ass.
Yeah. Oh, those breasts. Oh. V for very nice. Mm-hmm.
That ass, though, is as flat as a wall. Oh, my God.
Well, that was back. Sorry to be. It was back in the day, Mike. Don't be negative. I know. It's Vanna White, dude.
It's just...
That's another thing, too. You talk about the female body changing because the Lord knows what we're shoving inside of it. Well, hello there.
Yeah, the asses weren't as big.
The asses weren't, like, grotesquely Kardashian monstrous.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
We had a discussion yesterday. New laws were rolled out in the state of Maryland. Some ones were updated, some tweaks to others. We opened the phone lines to you. What do you think needed to be updated? What sort of new laws needed to be put on the books? And it seemed the vast majority all had to do with automotive stuff. Driving, licensing, relicensing, penalties, fines, things like that. Were there any that we didn't get to? Or were there any that had nothing to do? Oh, I got one. Okay, I'm not a fan of the Homeowners Association. I think you should just worry about you and yours. But if your yard is out of control, there's a home around the corner. My neighborhood has a community association, but not a homeowners association. There's a house around the corner that we actually looked at their neighbor's house and didn't buy it because the yard next door was so junky and so garbage looking that I'm like, I can't look at that every day. There's no way.
Look at it every day. Affects the property value of your home.
Half a car in the side of the yard. There's like a ratty looking tire swing. There's the deadest tree you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's just this gnarled, like it's like the tree from the Blade Runner trailer. If there should be some sort of, I don't know, like a three strikes warning, like, hey, just handle it a little bit.
And speaking of that, there should be a law, too, that you cannot put up Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving on the books.
I love Christmas, though. I'd have them up year-round if possible.
I love it, too, but...
All right, I'll give you one.
What if you can't make that a law.
Oh, you can
People
make
are allowed
law,
to
baby.
Do whatever they want with their house.
What about the littering? What if we upped... Like, you'll hear it coming up. There's something in there, like, they're upping the fines for animal cruelty. What if you see, or a cop sees someone chuck a Big Mac wrapper or what's left of their dollar sweet tea out the window... Like, you lose your license for a month. Something inconvenient.
Yeah, I wonder how often cops pull people over after witnessing that. If you're a police officer and have done that, text us. 410-338-1098.
Coming up, laws that are on the books have been adjusted. Some new ones have been added. And we took your suggestions and gave ours on Behind the Curtain. Got some new laws going into effect. New Maryland laws going into effect. I'm not going to read all of them because there's a lot to go through, but these new laws taking effect this week impact everything from rear view mirrors to recyclables and rape. Wow, the three R's, rear view, rape, and recyclables. This is a weird headline. Let's hit a couple. First and foremost, in the vehicular category, drivers may pass on the right shoulder if a vehicle is making a left turn ahead and the driver does not leave the paved surface.
I already did that.
We've been doing
all
that for
day,
years.
Every day, homie.
I've gone into the grass.
I thought it was legal. Yeah, I'll go to gravel, grass, getting around.
Yeah, has anyone ever been pulled over for that? Yeah, like you said, I thought that was protocol.
Oh, some dude fresh out of the academy who's just chomping at the bit to fight crime. Here's another one that, now this one is, I don't see why this one needed to come up. For half of it. Drivers of ATVs or snowmobiles on highways must have a driver's license. That's a real Alaska-ass law right there. When was the last time you were ever on the JFX and saw someone ripping by on a snowmobile?
Well, that's Eastern. That's Western Maryland.
You think?
Stuff. Oh, yeah.
West of Frostburg?
Yep.
Okay. Let's get another one here. Okay, now this is a fun one here. Possession of marijuana may be expunged from one's record by showing good cause. Like you need it? You meant well, you were going to share it. It was that kind bud, that good kush, and not that dirt trash.
Yeah, bro. Come on, man.
Come on, man. I got good cause. Oh, well, you guys get out of here then.
I got IBS, bro.
Yeah.
Just smoking it for my IBS.
First and my second bowels. Degree sex offenses.
Oh, Jesus.
Will now be called first and second degree rape. So good. No longer a sex offense. They're going to call it, is this a rape? All right, there we are.
Yeah, is there? I'm just trying to think, like, of a sex offense that wouldn't involve that rape.
I'm not getting that deep into it, yeah, Mike.
Whoa, that's a poor choice of words. Now,
really, dig deeper into that on your personal time if you'd like.
Home invasion is now officially recognized as a violent crime. Because I don't think anybody tiptoes to the front door, sneaks one donut, and goes, "Don't mind if I do," and then sneaks out.
I don't know about
out.
That. Come on, man. If I just sneak into a window and, like, go into the kitchen and make myself a turkey sandwich and take a nap, how's that violent? By slinking through a window and eat a sandwich.
I think you're invading someone's personal space. I like it. Violent crime. You're breaking into my domicile.
You hear all the time about people that just break in and take a bath and have a sandwich.
You're going to finish
that? Well, that's
that?
A burglary. A home invasion is when you burst in and tie people
yeah,
up.
I guess.
Boy, someone somewhere was running that one of them real sketchy underground haircutting operations because it is no longer a misdemeanor to practice barbering without a license. The penalty remains a $1,000 per day maximum fine, but practicing without a license no longer a criminal offense. So you can now cut hair freely. Just don't let the cops know that you gave your buddy a fresh fade. How did that even come up?
Well, here's one that I think Spiegel will like. The maximum amount allowed in damages for someone who causes injury or death to a pet has increased from $7,500 to $10,000.
All right.
Yeah, good. That's good.
Good.
There
that's
we go.
Good.
That's
good. Nice. Don't be hurting the animals, a-holes.
Knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
Knock it off.
You don't have any of these...
Where's another one? There was one that I
started one back here. Oh, hydraulic fracturing of a well for the production of oil or natural gas is prohibited in the state.
Yes.
We've all seen the Gasland documentary.
Fracking.
We've seen Gasland.
Frack it.
I don't need fire shooting out of my pipes.
There is now a statute of limitations on child sex abuse for civil damages. What? I feel like you should just be able to do that forever. Actions must be filed 20 years after the victim becomes an adult or within 3 years of the alleged perpetrator's conviction. I feel like we should just let someone that's a victim do whatever they need, they think they need to do.
Bail bondsmen and cosmetologists will be required to complete continuing education.
Oh, good. Uh-oh. Josh good. Is going to like this one. Retail pet stores will be required to post inspection reports on or near cages if the animals are from a breeder.
Oh, that's good. I like
that.
Oh,
that is good.
I like that. That's a good one.
That.
A lot of good laws.
I like that one. How about
we need
this?
More laws.
Let's take a quick break here real quick. Oh, boy. Got some laws. New Maryland laws taking effect October 1st. Got some texts here. Here we got here. The four-wheeler law is a Carroll County thing. Yeah, four-wheelers, I guess, makes sense. There's a law that states you got to have a license if you drive a four-wheeler or a snowmobile. The snowmobile thing was the one that was scratching my head about, but then, yeah, Scott, you made a good point. Western Maryland gets its fair share of the white stuff, and I'm not talking about the thing that I enjoy in Vegas. So I get that. A lot of this, after the age of 65, a yearly driving test
yes.
required by law.
Yes.
You know what? This would be so unpopular, but I think it would be so helpful. Man, it would piss people off, but it'd be saving us from our stupid-ass selves. I think every 10 years you take a new test, because your brain can go rotten prior to that.
What is the test now? It's changed, right? It's not like the that stupid course you do out back of the MVA and with the parallel parking. I think it's on the road now, right?
Mine was on the road.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, it's different than Maryland used to be.
I don't know. I haven't taken it, Mike.
Text us.
Jesus.
Hey, let us know.
Asking all these questions.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We got another one here I really, really like. Yeah, shout out. I agree with the class license for specific vehicles who drive Expeditions, Tahoes, Suburbans. I can't tell you how many 105-pound Wayfish Zilches get in one of these things. I just feel safer behind the vehicle because it's so much longer. I'm safe, but now there's five vehicles beneath my tires. I don't get that. We all take the same driving test, and the same person that does not realize you can make a right on red or how to merge gets to drive a McLaren. You can get behind the wheel of an Audi R8 if you can afford it. I feel like there should be classifications of vehicles that
not
you get to
idea.
Drive. I mean, I get you got to do that for industrial trucks, big, huge, honking you know, Mayflower moving trucks and all that.
And if you're under the age of 20, you can't drive a vehicle worth more than $30,000. Because nothing infuriates me more than seeing an 18-year-old in a Range Rover.
My daddy got me that. Oh, God. When I see someone in, like, a crisp 2018 Escalade and they have a fidget spinner and they're on their way home from high school, you're like, oh, I just want to beat myself in the head with a hammer.
And another law, like,
well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'd love to see a law in the books for people that put their feet on the dash or out the window while in the passenger seats should be fine.
I get to hack it off with a machete.
I don't know why that annoys me, but it infuriates me when I see it.
Yeah, you got a weird thing about that. I got no problem with that. They're living life, dude. They're enjoying life. Hang a foot out the window. Let the breeze hit them toes.
Oof, tell me how good life is when your knee shatters your skull.
Well, that's on them. If they want to take that risk, let them take the freaking risk.
Oh, we had a moment yesterday in the car when the stepdaughter, for some reason, just after the 3,000th time telling her to buckle your effing seatbelt, was leaning her head out of the car like a schnauzer. And we're driving by a very large tree, and we're like, pull your head inside! She's sorry! Oh, my God.
Oh, let him live. Let him live a little.
No, I don't feel like cleaning up that mess. 410-338-1098. What laws do you think we should have? What laws are we missing? Plastics must meet industry standards to be labeled biodegradable, recycled, or suitable for compost. They'll just change the industry standards. That's nothing there. I'm reading some other ones here. The motto for the state seal now has an official translation. Fatty, mashi, parol, femin. Am I saying that right? The Calvert family motto has been controversial for its translation of manly deeds, womanly words. The official translation in the state of Maryland, which bears the Tuscan motto on its seal, is now strong deeds, gentle words. They have removed the gender from it so a nation can heal.
Apparently, Mike the Foot thing is already a ticketable offense.
God bless. God bless. God bless.
Thank you, Maryland.
I don't want to see your awful toes.
Dangerous. I guess it's just hanging out, like, you know, that whole hanging out of the appendage thing.
Like, yeah, you know that they say there's if you can think of it, there's probably a porn for it. Someone somewhere has had to have been hanging a foot out of a car, not paying attention, and given the most vicious front kick to an unsuspecting person at the side of the road. Just a 55-mile-per-hour front kick to someone.
I mean, we're going very heavily driver, like car-related, but there's all sorts of laws. I mean, we don't have to stick to the roads, but here's a good road one. New law that says no dog in the driver's lap. Oh, I hate that.
Oh, that sketches me out.
When they're driving and they got the little dog all up in their lap and it's hopping up on the steering wheel and it's hanging out the driver's side window.
Ugh.
Yeah, get him out.
Put that dog in a car seat. Let's go to the phones here. Tommy in Annapolis. Tommy, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
Pretty well. So I have a grief. Actually, it's probably more than a grief because it's giving people cancer. The big popular thing of rolling coal in trucks.
Oh, that's where you like rev coal, the engine and it barfs out that huge blast.
Yeah, they wind up the turbo, or you buy like this diesel particulate filter, like delete, or the tuner, and they're legal, which is crazy.
Yeah, if you have a diesel engine, there's a way you can rev it up and then just spit out this black cloud of diesel smoke. And it's like...
some of the videos are pretty funny.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool.
Where they back the muffler, or they back the exhaust into someone's tent.
Yeah.
And they zip it up, and the guy rolls coal directly in this guy, and he comes out just looking like he's wearing blackface in some Amos and Andy production. Let's go to... Oh, all right. This is in line with... what Mike was just saying. Let's go to Scott in Baltimore. Scott, good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
How you doing, bud?
Doing pretty good, man. A couple years ago, I used to work for a crab house in Baltimore, and the owners were good friends with this couple that were pretty well off. The father had his own business, so he had everything taken care of. Well, they had a son that turned 18, and he was the type of person to where you can kind of tell that he just kind of did everything, you know, haphazard, you know, didn't really take into consideration how much appreciation you should have for a first car. I mean, my very first car was a 94 Buick Century I got for $500. But 2 weeks to the day of him bringing it in and flaunting it around, being a speed demon, 2 weeks to the day I called it, wrecked it going around a little back road country turn, not knowing exactly what the hell he did. But 2 weeks to the day, wrecked it, not appreciating what he had.
Wow. That's a pretty good law.
There
okay.
we go. Great law.
Did you say you called it?
There you go. He said he called it.
Okay.
He said he called it.
It's a good law that changed.
He called it.
He called it. Oh,
I also called stuff when I was 8.
Called it. I knew that tag team was going to break up. You could see when the one accidentally hit the other when the ref's back was turned. Let's go to, Olivia. Boy, a lot of car-involved stuff. I guess that's sort of the hot-button issue around here with some of the worst effing drivers in the country, most of which you almost positive suffered some sort of head trauma when you see just how slow it takes them to merge into traffic. Olivia, you work at the MVA?
I actually do. I do the driving test.
Oh, you do the driving test.
I do the driving
test.
Can you give us all, driving tests? No, I'm serious. As a morning show, like, would we be able to, like, work something out through you or someone to all, like, retake the driving test and see how we do?
I would love that.
You'd probably have to go Glen Burnie or, you know, get a DUI or something, but...
Well, mic's up.
We'd probably be able to get you a test.
So what's up?
With the laws being changed, especially with the being over 65, I was waiting for it. I've been waiting for it for a long time.
It needs to happen, right? As a driving test person?
It does.
Yes.
It does. It's crazy because, like, there's certain countries, like even Brazil, you have to. Every time you renew your license, every 10 years, you have to retest.
Wow. And that doesn't exist in the United States.
No, it does not. It does not.
Like, you're impacting my freedom.
It's crazy.
See,
and
God bless you for administering that test. You place your life in some zilch's hands. I know it's just in a parking lot, but you can do a lot of damage.
No, it is not. It's not an enclosed course anymore.
Really? Where are they taking
you? We take these kids on the road.
That's what I did on Long Island. We just went out on the freaking road.
Oh, because ours in Maryland, Southern Maryland, was they had a course that was just an old converted parking lot out back, and you had to do the three-point turn, the parallel park, zoom and stop, signal properly. You're taking these ADHD.
Well, you've been practicing out on the road, right? Where'd you practice? I practiced on the road. Let me ask. So you just I took my driving test like what age? Like 16 or something?
15 from our learners.
So you take it once, and then you just never have to test again for the rest of your life, unless a few things, like you said, a DUI,
you screw up really bad,
or you screw up really bad.
Mike, I'm putting her on hold.
I don't know. You should have to retest. Like she said, every 10 years, that might be overkill, but
yeah,
it's a good law. Get it on the books.
Can we get someone to retest us like here in the parking lot?
Yes, I think Mike could make that happen.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Well, we could always rely on our listeners to call in whenever we need stories from prison. You want to really get behind the curtain here. We had a lot of callers check in about a discussion. What would you do? Or what have you done? The minute you got out of prison, you get a big steak, you take a nap, you take a shower, you hook up, drink, whatever. And is anybody here distressed? Because I think we even had a conversation about this once in our post-show meeting. How many listeners have been to jail?
Ah, dude, it's Baltimore, man.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm never surprised.
I mean, the phone lines got smoke pouring out of the back of them. We're like, hey, you ever been to jail? Boom, all six lines filled up. Different names each time. Women, men, young, old.
I'm never surprised. It's just, it's Baltimore.
Yeah, We like to get caught.
or maybe it's just that the people that have gone to jail really love to talk about it and just dove at the phone as soon as the topic came up. Because like you said, Scott, every time we talk about jail or prison, the phones just light up.
Yeah. We have some folks that have made some mistakes and seem to be on the other side of it. We ask people in the break coming up, you know, what you did. And we also asked them what you were in for. And there was some harrowing stuff. We also had a gentleman that was I don't know why I think that Jewish people are just, for some reason, better and more law-abiding. And Josh will make a joke coming up you hear about this Jewish guy that checks in and says that, he was in there for, like, evading the police. And Josh makes a joke about it being some sort of white-collar tax evasion-like crime, maybe skimming across the top a little bit. Didn't sound like he was a member of the tribe much. He definitely sounded like he grew up in my family.
I've never heard a Jewish person. So I think he was making it up.
Is there like a Jewish version of like white trash? Yeah, great point. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy. All right, coming up, you got a chance to hear him. What did you do when you got out of prison? Josh did the story earlier in the week. Scott, I believe it was on Monday, the story about the gentleman who had been wrongly accused of being in prison, got out.
Oh, yeah. In Baltimore.
In Baltimore, right here in Baltimore. He was in there for quite some time. A lot of tears, a lot of reunion hugs, the whole thing. It was a pretty powerful moment. But then he said what he wants to do is he wants to own and operate his own McDonald's. He wants a McDonald's franchise. And he was talking about what he wanted to do after he got out of there. We started thinking, well, that's kind of a long-term goal. What do you do day
first thing?
One.
First thing.
Okay. Hypotheticals here. It's a hypothetical Wednesday. Josh, you're locked up for embezzlement. Me, I can't stop feeling up the animatronics of Chuck E. Cheese. Scott, you didn't register your penis with the NRA. Mike, you know what you did.
Yeah.
What are we all doing when we get out of the clink first? Josh, I'll start with you.
I think I'm obviously going to make love.
Yeah.
First thing.
Make love immediately.
Yes.
Josh's style of love.
Shut up!
After being pinned down by men for 13 years, behind bars, I want to find a woman as soon as possible.
Need to give the old grease trap a break.
A woman with a penis.
Oh, God. Wow. Look at her mustache and balls. Look at that beautiful gal. Scott, you get out. What do you do?
I'm thinking food. I'm thinking like I don't know.
How delicious must a beer be?
A cold beer.
Ice cold
and
beer.
And a burger.
Oh.
Or a chicken parm sub.
Oh, yeah. Good
cheese
pasta.
Steak.
Steak as thick as an ass.
Steak. Baked potato. I don't know. I'm thinking food and then sex.
Okay. I'm thinking the same thing. I'm actually probably going to want to sleep. Because I know you sleep in prison. A lot of people will pass the day doing that. But I mean, like lay down on an amazing bed. Pillow top. Whole deal. Probably sleep for 20 hours. Wake up and just gorge.
Yeah, somebody said that their buddy, first thing he did was go home and take a nice long nap.
Damn.
Like you said, sleep.
Sleep, baby.
Just sleep.
Sleep, sleep, and sleep good. Michael, after your infraction.
Like you guys said, food, and instead of going somewhere nice, I'm going to go up and down York Road and hit every single fast food spot on it and just get a little something from each place.
Oh, you're going to grease it up a little bit, get that Georgia Gold chicken from KFC, which, by the way, is next effing level. Maybe get a meat mountain from Arby's.
Oh, yeah.
Beat up that dollar menu. Five guys, it better lock the door behind you as you just swan dive in that huge big bag of peanuts.
And we ask you, the listeners that have been locked up, God knows there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, give us a shout. 410-338-1098. 410-338-1098. We want to know what was the exact first thing you did when you got out.
Let's take one call before we take some after sports. 410-338-1098. Jeff, Glen Burnie, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing, brother? Hey. Can we ask what you were in there for?
Doing a hell of a lot better now that I'm not in prison.
What were you in there for? What'd you do?
Assault.
Okay. All right.
That's assault, brother.
That's assault, brother.
yeah, and it's... I wish I had the nice catch line like Mr. T to do that.
Mm. So what'd you do? What'd you get into?
First thing I did, went to church.
Oh.
Thank God for protecting my hindquarters. And then I went home and did the deed, because that's all you're really hungry for up there.
Yeah, there you go.
With who, though? Who was? How long were you in there for?
Family member?
Almost 4 years, and my lovely wife.
Oh, so
with me the whole time.
She stuck around.
Well, there you go, huh? Yes, went home and assaulted that ass. The clink. 410-338-1098. You were in, you were out. What'd you miss? The food, the sex, the drink, the peace and quiet? People have been texting in. You have been monitoring them, Scott. What have they been saying? There seems to be one prevailing option.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, a lot of these. Let me just rip through some of these. I took a shower. Having an untimed shower was something I had taken for granted before my jail stint. Dude, when I got out, I went and bought two rolls of the nicest toilet paper just so I could S in a bathroom alone and use real TP that nobody wanted to steal. First thing I did was soak in the bathtub for about 2 hours. Then we ate steak. Took a nice shower without shower shoes. Then eat, then smoke a bowl, then smash some ass. Burger King in a bath. Taking a dump with no one watching.
It seems like
longest
bathroom
shower
stuff.
Ever. First thing I did was take a shower. Pepperoni pizza and a shower. 30-pack in the back seat waiting for me and a hot shower. Shower is the overall winner.
Shower.
Just shower by yourself with hot water, some good soap. Nobody watching. Alone.
Yeah,
taking
good
a dump alone.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this, man.
It's much, think about that.
It's much in the same way that my brother watched that heroin documentary and goes, oh, I can never do that. Needles. Me, I watch at Lock Up Raw. The first thing I see, that toilet in the room, mm-hmm. I could never use. I can't go around here if there's someone in a stall, hence the fourth story VIP bathroom or the one in the secret bathroom. Much less, you know, having to try and deuce in front of some guy that killed his family with a pickaxe. 410-338-1098. Let's start running down the line. Want to know your name? Want to know where you're from? If you want to say what you did, cool, keep it brief. And then we'll get into what you did. Let's talk to Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Hey.
Welcome out.
How are y'all doing this morning?
Fantastic.
We're good. How are you? What's the first thing you did when you got out? Go.
My old lady jumped my bones, got a favor in the parking lot. Then after that, we went out for lunch at Outback Steakhouse.
Nice. Did you get a blooming onion?
Yes, sir. Yeah, my favorite. Right,
how right good right. did that taste? How damn good right did that food taste there?
Felt like I hadn't had a real meal in years.
What were you eating in there? Was there any food in prison you actually liked?
Yeah, what is the food?
I mean, I got a different meal than everyone else. I was on a kosher diet.
Oh,
like a religious diet. So I got TV dinners for lunch and dinner.
Are you Jewish or Muslim?
Jewish.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Oh. So it was a financial crime.
Yeah, so they get a little scheme. Something different. Fresh vegetables, fresh fruit.
What crime did you commit?
I'm sorry?
What crime did you commit?
Fleeing and eluding, driving on revoke.
Just as I said.
Yeah. That's what Josh said. Yes, a financial crime. There you go. Bold white-collar criminal checking in. Man, you hold a gun to my head and you say, what is this guy? Irish, Catholic, or Jewish?
Yeah.
Pull the trigger. I would never in a million years did not expect old Herbert Steinbaum to check in with us. Let's go to Chad. Chad, good morning, bud.
Morning, guys. How's everyone?
We're all right. What were you in there for briefly?
I got into a car accident when I came home from the military, and two people in the car lost their life, unfortunately. Oh. So
okay.
All yeah. Right. So I did 6 years in Pennsylvania for that.
All right. So what'd you do when you got out?
Family took me out to eat at a, I was out by Pittsburgh, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's, like Eaton Park is this huge deal. So they took me to a breakfast buffet, and I swear it was like I died and went to heaven as soon as I smelled bacon for the first time in 6 years.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
And you had a big fluffy pancake, fresh fruit.
Pancake, like two platefuls of scrambled eggs that weren't, you know, running apart, looked like snot on the plate.
No one's trying to stab you in the neck with a knife they made out of a lighter just to get your toast.
Listen, everybody has all these preconceived notions because they watched too many episodes of Oz back in the day. The only people that are giving up booty hole in jail are the people that want to give up booty hole in jail. And the only people that get stabbed are usually pedophiles.
Okay, there you go. Thank you for clearing that up.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Right.
There's a call coming up, so you might want to pay attention to. He said he was sick of getting stabbed. So, all right, here you go. Take care. There he goes. Let's go to Ryan in White Marsh. Ryan, good morning, sir.
Hey, morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Free.
Oh, all right. Did a year out in Hagerstown for possession with intent to sell.
Okay.
And first thing I did was got a pit beef sandwich and went fishing.
Oh, fishing.
What a good day, huh? That's good. Next week, you get that tiger sauce?
Oh, you know it, buddy. You know it.
Catch anything that day?
Actually, no. But it was just, it just felt great to just sit out on the water alone by myself. Nothing else going on with nice chaps pit beef sandwich.
Mm, my nice. Man. My man. Oh, we have a lady. Let's talk to Rebecca. I find female criminals so incredibly hot. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning.
You ne'er do well, you bandit.
Good morning.
What'd you do?
Good morning.
What'd you do?
A little bit of drug possession back in my 20s.
Mm. Nice. Like to possess that ass. So,
what'd you do when you got out?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I hugged my family, who was gracious enough to come and get me, and then they took me to Red Lobster, and it was like flavor bursting in my mouth because I was locked up for 4 years.
How many of those biscuits you throw back? How many did you crush?
Get them Cheddar Bay biscuits.
What's two.
That?
Just yeah, two.
Get that lobster.
Two.
Fried shrimp.
Oh, man. Especially if your release date coincided with Lobster Fest. Oh,
oh my God.
Oh, so many different
ways. Yeah, that would have been the case. That'd have been great.
Lobster Alfredo.
Did you witness or partake in any lesbian sex behind bars?
No, Josh, I did not. I witnessed a lot of it, but I did not partake.
Yes, you have the floor. Everyone else, yeah, hang up. We're going to stick with Rebecca.
When and where does it go down? How does it go down? And you, were you in like separate cells, down, which is two to a cell, or were you in one of them big
two
rooms?
Two to a cell.
It was two to a cell. So what'd you witness? You just heard it?
Well, you know, girls walk around holding hands and kissing and, you know, whatever. And as long as they don't get caught, they're good.
Jail
they get caught,
hot,
then they're going, you know, getting put on lock.
Really? So if you get caught having sex, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A crime of passion.
Big trouble.
Big trouble.
Big, big trouble. Yeah. Were you ever propositioned when you were in there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no. I need to see some pics.
How close did you get to having sex with a woman?
Not my thing. I didn't have that much time.
You weren't that time.
4 years is a long time.
It is a long time, but, you know, my husband's in and out of prison all the time. I'm used to it. He's in there now.
Look at you guys. Truly the best of us.
The best of us.
The best of us. Good Lord.
Shout out to Billy. I love you, baby.
Love you too, Billy.
The smell of tilapia in cell block A.
Oh.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Bill Engvall joined us on Tuesday talking about his event tonight. He's going to be at the Lyric. And he's a good dude. What I didn't get to ask him that I wish I did, I asked him a question you'll hear coming up. You know, did he ever have any misgivings or, you know, fights with any of the crew? And obviously not. You know, those guys all seem like they got along pretty well. I got to wonder who his best friend on the crew was. Like, who is
Jeff.
Do you think it was Jeff? It was definitely Jeff and Bill. I think Ron White did his own thing, and Larry's somewhere doing donuts in a monster truck talking about Prilosec.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And you'll hear coming up, I asked him a question, which he rather enjoyed, and which we could maybe massage it a little more here, because it's the Blue Collar Comedies, or it's Jeff Foxworthy, Bill Engvall, you got Larry the Cable Guy, and you got Ron White. Those are the four dudes. And I just he talks about how great it was and how they all got along and it was so much fun. I'm like, well, what happens if, like, you have to fight each other to the death? And it comes down to Bill Engvall and Jeff Foxworthy, because Ron White drinks way too much.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a bigger dude. Larry's gassing out. Larry might catch you with a haymaker right in the beginning.
Yeah, you got a couple of heavyweights dealing with some middleweights there. If you can, you'll hear me say, if you can outlast...
Stick and move.
Stick
Foxworthy and
move.
Engvall are sticking and moving and maybe running around. The other two, Ron White and Larry the Cable Guy, are gassing out because they're big, heavy dudes. And then I think it comes down to Foxworthy and Engvall. And I think Foxworthy has some sort of weird... he would kill a man.
You ever heard of the concept nerd rage?
Maybe,
like,
that's
if you
what
piss
I'm
off a
say.
Nerd in a very particular way, drive by a bunch of people that are waiting out front to see the new Star Wars film and yell out Captain Kirk sucks, like the old Brian Posehn bit. It'll just incense them to the point where, you know, they'll plunge a number two pencil in your eyeball. I have a feeling that somewhere deep within that Jeff Foxworthy has sort of like almost a country nerd rage in
him.
Yes. If he's pressed against the wall, he's coming back out and you're losing like your lips and your eyes, like you had a monkey attack you.
Exactly.
He's just gonna pull your ears and your nose off. He's not gonna strike. He's in a claw and rip.
Yes.
And he will be the last man standing. Bill Engvall joined us. Hopefully you're going to get a chance to see him tonight right here in town. It's Behind the Curtain. Justin Scott and Spiegel here on the flagship station, your Baltimore Ravens, 98 Rock, coming to town this Saturday, the Lyric, 8 p.m. We got the legendary Bill Engvall. What's up, my man?
Wow, legendary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got to think, man. Oh, no. This is...
I think, is that a nice word for old?
Yeah, it's a kind word for, you know what, how about this? Instead of old, we'll consider you one of the journeymen of the business
economy. The journeyman, again, another one.
Damn it, I'm trying to find one that doesn't make someone sound like a relic. How would you label yourself in the hierarchy of comedy?
I think those are very accurate. You know, it's... I think at some point you have to face the fact that we're all getting older. You know, like a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went and saw Steve Miller and Peter Frampton, and I was just kind of looking around going, wow.
Yeah.
Nobody's passing a dube anywhere. It's all like, you know, they're handing out cholesterol medicines.
And you're plotting when you're going to, should we stay for the encore?
Let's leave before the parking
gets bad. Should we beat the traffic?
Yeah, let's beat the traffic.
And yep, it's totally different.
You know, I tell you, it's a funny, you guys do this, it reminds me of a funny story. When Jeff and I were playing at Red Rocks in Denver, I believe it was his wife's mother and father had come to see the show. And Jeff, I had done my set and I was sitting off stage watching Jeff, and all of a sudden I look up and here comes this older couple walking right down the center aisle, and there was probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes left in the show. And it was his in-laws, and they walked right up to the stage while he's talking and said, "Hey, Jeff, listen, thank you for the tickets. We're going to go ahead and go.
While he's
we're going to beat traffic."
While he's in the middle of his set.
Yeah.
That's hysterical. Oh, hey, I want to ask you, speaking of which,
we laugh so hard at that because it is true. I mean, as you get older, you know, you just kind of like, okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up. And they go, here's something off our new album. No, that's okay. Just, yep. You know.
You spun the hits. I heard everything that I needed to hear. I'm going to go ahead and beat the traffic before the tolls get bad. Billingvall, you famously were on that tour with Larry the Cable Guy and Ron White and yourself and Jeff Foxworthy. And you guys genuinely had a rapport when you would all get on stage together and kind of have that town hall style, just kind of busting each other's balls and messing around with the crowd. Were there any times of tension on that tour? It didn't strike me as you guys ever getting on each other at all.
I got to be honest with you, not really. Because I think there was a couple reasons why. A, we were just four guys who, you know, we got really lucky. It just happened to be the right time and the right venues, and we all just kind of did our own shows. But the other thing I think was, I think this is where bands and stuff run, is they play so many shows together. And our promoters are really good about not overdoing the show where we just couldn't stand to see each other. But it really was as much fun as it looked like we were having. You can double that. It was just, especially because we were comedians. You know, we were selling out arenas. And I remember we would just sit there and just go, are you kidding me? This is for stand-up? You know, and so... It was just a blast to be a part of that tour. And, you know, and honestly, I honestly believe that these guys were, everybody was at the top of their game. You know, even, you know, Larry and Ron, but at the time, nobody really knew much about them. You know, people in radio knew Larry because he would call into shows and stuff. But as far as just general public, you know, not that many people. And everybody it was one of those tours that every night you had to bring your A game, because if you didn't, you were going to get buried.
When you are just hanging out with other comics, do you ever knock ideas off of them, or is that, you know, do you keep material close to the vest?
No, you know, especially back in the days when I was doing the clubs, that was really part of the fun part of being on the road, was, you know, you'd finish the show and, excuse me, go back to the condo or hotel or whatever, and you'd sit. I go, I got this idea for this bit, but I can't figure a way to close it. And someone say, why don't you try this? It's been a while since I've been in that kind of situation, but I do think there was a greater camaraderie amongst the comics than there is now. I think it's kind of become more individualist, which we were anyway. But we also back, you know, I learned from the guys like Seinfeld and Shanling and Leno and these guys. So I, you know, we hung out, you know, like you'd go to the Improv in Hollywood and there'd be 20 comics who weren't even going up, but just hanging out, you know, and so you could sit there and yak and talk.
We're talking to Bill Engvall. He's coming to Lyric this Saturday, September 30th, 8 p.m. And we talked about the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and you said how great it was and how everybody got along. But let's say it all came crashing down and the world was burning, and you found yourself out in the parking lot with you, Jeff Foxworthy, and Larry's there, and Ron White is there, and it's a fight to the death.
Oh, yeah.
Who's coming out of there alive?
Wow, good question.
I think I know how I have my money on, but I want to hear.
I feel like you got to survive Ron White for 30 seconds, and then you're okay.
Well, I was thinking that's Larry. Yeah, Larry gets wet. Larry's getting winded.
You'd have to endure the initial onslaught of Ron.
Yeah.
And if you could, then you'd be fine. I think the one you'd have to worry about is Jeff.
Yeah.
He's squirrely.
Because he's kind of the quiet one.
Yeah.
And so you know that old saying that I'm scared of the dog that's barking the loudest. It's the one that's laying there in the grass just looking at me.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
But it could be one of the funniest fights you'd ever see in your life with all four of us.
Literally, do it. Film it for one of your next comedy specials.
In the parking lot of a Cracker Barrel, closed fists, whatever you can get a hold of.
So do you remember when MTV used to do those claymation
celebrity
fights?
Death match? Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do one of us. That would have been funny.
Oh, you four versus the kings of comedy in an 8-man tag team turmoil.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking to Bill Engvall. He's coming to town, the Lyric, this Saturday, September 30th at 8.
And the tour, do you like traveling, or do you miss home, or do you just...
I got to be honest with you, the older I get, the more I miss being home. But I also dig coming to towns and, seeing the people. That's one of the coolest things about this job is I see places I never would have seen before, and to play some of these great theaters like the Lyric and stuff like that, now, I will say this. It's not like when I come in there, it's not like I'm going to have all day to go to the Inner Harbor and, hang out and have some brews and the crab.
Right.
Pretty much it's a rough life. You fly in, you do the show, you climb back on the plane, you fly to another show. In that aspect, it does get tiring. But the stage time is what saves me. I just love when you're on stage. Like my show right now is just kind of a 90-minute conversation. I go through very various subjects of, it's either getting older or, like this. One of my favorite ideas I'm messing with right now is from through my wife's eyes of what it's like living with a comedian, because our brains are different. We look at things completely different. A prime example would be where we live, out behind our house, there's about a 20-acre plot of woods. And then there's another neighborhood on the other side, but I've never been there. And so I have a neighbor who I love him to death. He puts out a game camera out in the woods and takes pictures of deer and elk and all that stuff that walk through. And I thought it'd be funny one day if I got a Bigfoot outfit and walked in front of his game camera.
Yeah, that's great.
So I went to the costume shop, and this is where it's like built with a comedian. I don't really think the thought through. I just roll with it, and whatever happens, happens. So I went down to the costume shop, and they didn't have a Bigfoot outfit, but they had a really cool Batman outfit. And I thought, this is a sign from God. So I get this thing, but I wanted to do it at night, so the picture was grainy, and he couldn't really see me, but he would see it was Batman. So I bought this outfit, and it gets to be dark about 10 o'clock, and I walk out in the woods. Well, I get out in the middle of these dark woods, and all of a sudden the thought occurs to me, I don't really know where his camera is. So I'm just a grown man dressed like Batman walking through the woods at 10 o'clock at night.
Bill Engvall, here's your sign this Saturday, September 30th, 8 p.m. Man, you've had a hell of a career, and I know it's going to be one hell of a show at the Lyric this Saturday. Bill, thank you for taking the time to join us this morning, my friend.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate you letting me get on the air. And y'all that are listening, come on out to the Lyric. Let's have some laughs, and it'll be good to get back to Baltimore.
Bill, have some great shows, bud.
All right, take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Behind the Curtain, Tuesday, all the whimsicality of our coworkers right in the middle of probably the highest rated, no, I'm going to take that probably, the definitely highest rated segment of the show. That'd be Josh Spiegel's News. We like to call it the anchor point around here. We had on the table in front of Josh from an earlier segment, a cockroach in a cup trapped that we had been live streaming. We had a laugh with, and then we just kind of faded away, got back into the show. But then an hour later, Jacob.
Don't put this on Jacob. I mean, you're explaining what happened.
I'm setting it up. Jacob, the producer next door, comes in, knocks the cup over, unleashing this beast. And then we see Mike just a giggling and a grinning What was your hopes to have had happen?
Yeah, Mike went out into the hallway, and right in the middle, which Spiegel, by the way, was a stellar newscast.
Stalwart newscast that day.
The 8 o'clock Tuesday news was just amazing.
It was great.
And right in the middle of it, Mike decides to go out into the hallway and enlist the help of Jacob from AM to run in here, ambush us, and bum rush the show and knock over the cup, freeing the cockroach, which I assume he thought would elicit some sort of giant screaming response. Spiegel flipping out, running out of the studio. You explain yourself, Mike.
Yeah, and I will say, I may have said in the hall, this is going to be a top 10 moment come year end.
See, I can't fault you.
Couldn't have been more wrong. But no, Jacob texted me while we were talking about the cockroach. He's like, should I come in and knock it over? And at first I'm like, nah, that's a terrible idea. But I'm like, you know what? We've gotten like too safe around, or at least me, like maybe I'm not pushing the envelope or doing more crazy stuff. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. F it. So I figured let's wait till towards the end of the news. It was during Josh's last story, his kicker.
If you were Tonya Harding, Jacob was Shane Stant. He was the one holding the baton that came in and swung it at Josh's knee in the middle of that, you bastard.
Yeah, it was all in my defense in service of the show and hopefully creating great, you know, some radio gold. It turned into radio poop. Yeah, I thought Spiegel would, like, lose it because you talk about how much you hate roaches. You even said earlier in the show.
Burn your house down.
You would, yeah, leave your house. So I'm thinking Spiegel's going to leap through the ceiling if that roach comes scurrying towards him.
Hear about it now. The cockroach situation on Behind the Curtain.
I was distracted for a second by Mike's tweet. Did you see this of the cockroach?
I am not, Mike.
It's still in the hall, trapped by a plastic cup.
What is going on? Every day it's a...
Oh, my God.
Do you want... What is going on here? Can we just... I know it's happened forever, but why can't they get an exterminator to wipe this?
Well, Mike, go out into the hall, right in the stairwell there, and I see if you can even... If you want to. I don't think you want to, but they put out one of those little white cardboard bug traps. Did you see that?
There's one right... I think it's actually for mice behind by the...
Behind the garbage can.
Man, you could put a leash right on that and make it a service cockroach. Look at the size of that beast.
That is disgusting.
Let me see.
Oh, yeah, go to...
Oh, God. Come on.
Oh, yeah, look at him. He's moving.
We just should have, like, a live-in exterminator here.
You just give him a job. God, that thing's like from Isla Nublar.
What? Is there anything in that, the trap?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I just screamed in the hallway like a little girl. Everyone's alarmed.
But, okay.
I'm seeing stars. Woo! I went to bring that roach in. And that thing went buck wild on my ass. Holy crap. Jumped right in my face.
What do you mean it jumped in your face?
It went buck wild.
What do you mean? How did you try to bring it in?
It's under a plastic cup, so I went to slide the paper underneath, and I lifted it up, and it wiggled its way right out and jumped and like almost smacked me in the face.
How old do you think that thing is? Oh. It's probably been living in this building for 30 years, and it's probably radioactive. That's why it jumped at you.
Oh, God.
Crap.
Anyway,
look at that thing. It's the reincarnation of like some weekender who just passed away on the roof after being locked out. Look at this thing.
Now, like they say, aren't roaches like nocturnal? Because if they're out during, I'm making all this up.
God,
maybe
somebody
text
them
and see if this is accurate. But like if they're out when it's light, that's not a good sign, right? Maybe he's like dying or.
Or he's horny.
Or horny or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's clearly light in the hallway, and he's moving somewhat slowly.
Yeah, he might be on his last legs.
Yeah,
he was.
Try to pick his ass up, see how slow he is.
he's trolling.
Oh, I feel so dirty.
Oh, man. He just winked at Vanko. Oh, man, great. We got horny cockroaches in this building.
And now...
Bingo!
This is a worst case scenario.
I'd love to know how old that thing is. Is there a way to test its age?
You have to cut it in half and count the rings.
I don't think they live that long, do they?
Is that a myth that they can... I don't know. I just assumed they would live long if they can survive nuclear wars,
we should
supposedly.
Not kill it, and we put one dot of like
it says they
liquid
live one
paper
week.
On it.
That's it?
The lifespan of a cockroach is 1 week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It says cockroach can live up to 1 week without its head.
Stop it. Does it really say that? This. Oh, my God.
It says a cockroach can live almost a month without food.
It can live up to 2 weeks without water. Some female cockroaches only mate once and stay pregnant for life.
Oh.
And a cockroach can live up to 1 week without its head.
Oh, God. This is a worst case scenario. Our greatest fears have been realized. Decapitated, headless, horny, pregnant cockroaches. Oh.
I'm telling you, if I ever find a cockroach in my house, I'm not lying. I'm throwing one pair of underwear in a suitcase along with my annoying dog and getting to a hotel.
Here's
and not going
why
back.
You never have to worry.
Barple, let's go! Get in the car, Barple!
You don't have any food sources at your house.
Yeah.
There's no food in your house.
I suppose.
There's zero. They don't want anything with your house.
Except in the trash can.
Roaches and rats, I'm out. I'll deal with mice. I'll deal with mice and beetles.
Mike.
Roaches and rats, I'm out.
Get a marker or some bit of whiteout and put a dot on this thing's back because I want to be able to identify it. Like, we're tracking it. And if it's the same cockroach that is brazenly walking in front of us, I want to know.
Oh, man. It's still in the hall if you guys want to go look at it.
I don't.
Get it. See if you can get it somehow.
Oh, come on.
Go reason
don't
with
get it.
Reason with it.
Don't throw it on anybody. We just need to capture it.
Throw it on
somebody. You want more roach facts? Do you mind? I know we're inside news. Or you want fish news? A cockroach can hold its breath for 40 minutes.
Oh.
40 minutes. Can survive being submerged underwater for half an hour.
Don't put it near me.
They never get charged for guacamole.
Cockroaches can run up to 3 miles an hour.
They can change their oil every 20,000 miles.
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Oh, I think they're talking about it over on 1090. Keith Mills tried to soccer kick him across the room. A human being kicks it. It lands on the wall, hits the ground, runs away. They're impervious to damage.
A one-day-old baby cockroach is the size of a speck of dust and can run almost as fast as its parents.
I hate
that. A speck of dust.
I hate that.
Oh.
Getting back.
How long do they live for? It doesn't seem.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I'll tell you out of the time machine.
Okay. He's going to do something stupid. I swear to God, if you throw that on anybody in here, you're getting punched in the face.
Yeah, I'll pin him down and beat him.
If you throw that at me, I will pin you to the floor face down and kiss you from the bottom of your spine all the way to the nape of your neck.
What are you doing?
What is this?
I swear to God, I got a fist clenched. If that thing hits
anybody. Get that
anybody,
out of here.
Don't put it near me.
Dude, I swear to God.
Oh, my God. What is it? A napkin? Get it off the table.
I will
get it off the table.
I will punch someone in the face. Oh, my God.
I will armbar you.
Oh,
he's active.
Oh,
he
God.
He's active.
Oh, he's so serious. Big.
Oh, he's so big and so active. Look at his antenna. Look at the size of that antenna.
We found the king.
That is the king.
That is the emperor of cockroaches.
He's
standing up on his hind legs.
He
is self-aware.
He
is self-aware. Oh, John Patty, you could overpower me easily, but I would try.
He knows he's trapped. He wants out. Oh, don't look at me.
He speaks three languages.
Mike, how much do you want to eat it?
Oh, God.
To swallow it.
Reach in my wallet.
I'll give you $100.
I'll give you $200.
I'll give you $100,
How much to just throw that thing down your pants?
Oh.
Down the front of your pants.
There's no amount of money.
Put that down the front of your pants and be a legend.
It says, what is this?
God, that's gross.
Oh, I hate that it's in here.
I swear, when I picked it up earlier, it just touched my hand. I just want to, like, cut my hand off. I feel so disgusting.
It says adult males can live up to about a year, where the adult females can live up to 700 days.
I'm going to call him Leroy.
Is it missing a back leg?
Oh, God.
I mean, it lives in the city. It's probably been through some sort of gang initiation.
It's missing a back left leg.
You know
Look
it's
that.
Bulletproof.
Right? The back left leg is gone?
Don't fidget with it.
Don't push it near me.
It's got a tattoo. Hold on. Here comes Keith.
I swear to God, Keith.
It's missing a back leg because I gave it a Justin Tucker boot across the aisle.
You booted
about,
it
30
alive.
Minutes ago.
Oh, my God. It's the Paul Mittemeyer of
it
cockroaches.
Did four flips and lost his leg.
Jim Russ.
It's more of an onside kick.
It wasn't no onside kick. That went through the uprights, let me tell you. And I'll probably get yelled at for, you know, hurting the cockroach. I apologize.
Oh,
well,
God.
It's disgusting.
Medical agricultural experiments.
Oh,
no.
Oh!
What
just happened? What just happened?
Oh, my God.
Knocked the cup over. There's a cockroach is now loose. We had a cockroach in a cup.
What was that?
And
what was
Jacob
that?
Young, Mike went out into the hall and put Jacob up to knocking the cup over.
Did you Jacob plan on getting suplexed today? Was that on his itinerary of list to do?
Under the paper. It's under the paper.
We're in the middle of
there's
a situation
we found a giant cockroach in the hallway. And
It's under a cup in the studio.
The timing was impeccable, too, wasn't it?
It really was.
It was just
spot on.
Derailing the show.
Of all segments to interrupt, you went with news, Jacob?
Mike is a disruptor. No, it was Mike.
Mike, was that your idea, yes. Michael?
And the bit ended an hour ago or something like that.
Mike so. Anderson. So
I thought it did.
There might be a talking to today. I have time for,
I have time for a
talking to.
Imagine Spiegel reacting in a different way.
He's a damn man.
Oh, my anxiety level has gone down since it's been in front
it's
of me.
It's almost become our friend, Mike.
Do we punish the mastermind or the trigger man?
No, it's the mastermind.
Mastermind.
This was gotcha. A lone gunman here. This was it? There's no conspiracy.
What would happen if we did that with Neiman? With the AM show, if I just ran into
you can't compare
the morning show of WBAL and
you can't make that comparison.
I think you should. Man, see that light directly above Josh's head? We keep it on. So I gotta wonder what would happen.
Look, I can't fault Mike as a producer. He gotta create some content sometimes. He rolled the dice. He put up the AM producer to knocking over the cup with the cockroach in it, and it didn't work out in his favor this time, Mike.
So coming up, Mike is going to arrange an apology.
Can we give you lashes?
Everyone.
Can we lash him?
Oh, no. The bit with the cockroach is now going to become real. Mike, that's going
on
you.
That's going on your face.
That's going
that's
on
your
you
punishment.
Now. That thing is going to go down your pants.
Look, when I produce that, sometimes you just have to do that. You have to shake things up. I thought we were, I don't know.
I roll a grenade in there now and then.
Yeah.
But if you come for the king, you best not miss. And you missed.
What were we even talking about?
We were talking about the biodome.
Okay.
Possibility of them wanting to beat each other up inside of there.
I think it happened so quickly that we all kind of didn't understand what happened.
Yeah, especially since we haven't talked about it in like 40
minutes.
Yeah,
I had almost forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm. I forgot I was actually there. We were live streaming the cockroach. Boy, anyway. Today's the day everything changes.
Well. Nah, I'm at peace with what happened.
Oh, I'm drafting an email.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that Mike Anderson has a habit of waking up in the middle of the night and urinating all over his own home. Couch cushions, dog bowls, kitchen, whatever. But we found out that he had a second sleep disorder where he wakes up and he sleep eats. And so far we've heard rice, I believe, popcorn. How many times total have you done it? Because those,
God
I think,
only
are
knows.
The only examples.
God only knows how many times I've done it and never left any evidence for me to see in the morning. I don't know. I just initially discovered it this past fall when my girlfriend and our friends witnessed it in person.
What do you mean this past fall?
We went on a trip to West Virginia.
When?
It was back
Fall's just starting.
Last fall.
You've known this for a year?
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I didn't bring it up. Because you know why? Because I don't want to believe it. Like, things like that, I don't want to believe because it's so freaking scary that
you just wake up at 2 in the morning and scream the most racist stuff possible. Like, that can't be me. It's definitely not me.
Yeah, so
sleep
like,
racism.
I've been pushing it down, like, into my subconscious and just trying not to think about it because, like I said, or you'll hear in the clip, it's so freaking scary because what's next?
Well, you asked a good question. I would like you to maybe get like a sleep expert. I'm not even sure if it's like a neurologist or whatever. Who is in control of you? If your conscious mind is not, who's making you wake up, open up the cabinet, get the popcorn out? I mean, do you have to microwave this popcorn?
Yeah.
So you made popcorn. This wasn't like a bowl that was left out from a movie night. You went in, you got the Orville Redenbacher, tossed it in, waited until you heard 3 seconds in between the pops, and then went out there, ate like a savage, and went back to bed.
I think you're awake. I think you're like it's a weird form of awakeness.
I think
you've
got an eating disorder.
I don't think somebody else is in control. You're kind of...
I don't know. I mean, is it the same part of the body that controls heartbeat and breathing? Because obviously we're not like consciously doing that either.
I'm sure we could just Google it. You know, all the answers are right there.
No, I like to speculate without being informed. It's one of my favorite things to do here on the program.
Maybe aliens control your body.
Michael's possessed by extraterrestrials.
Good theory.
I don't know. It's scary.
When we go to sleep, aliens take over our thoughts and our minds.
How much would you love for that to be the actual case?
I would. As much as I love aliens, I don't want that to be a thing.
No? No kind of communion situation where Zagnar takes over that ass in the middle of the night and he's like, go and make a ruble and sandwich, medical.
One of my scariest reoccurring nightmares is having an alien encounter for whatever reason. It's so freaking horrifying.
Please contact Hopkins and donate your brain to science when you pass on. There are mysteries locked within.
Oh, one of the recent nightmares is being in a hurricane. Like, it just happens upon the house, and next thing I know, like, the windows are blasting, like, glass flying everywhere. Everything in the house is flying around. I'm, like, struggling to, like, get to the broom closet to, like, get inside, but I can't.
Find out why Hurricane Anderson is eating food in the middle of the night. Is he possessed by aliens? Lord knows. Behind the curtain.
Mike Anderson.
Yeah, 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. Give us a call right now or shoot us a text right now. Mike Anderson has dealt with sleep issues for years.
I think we'll do this also after PETA, too, if we just ain't got the time to properly spend to it. Yeah, Mike, talk to us about your initial sleep orders for those that are new to the program.
Yeah, I sleepwalk a lot, and I've done it since I was a kid. I remember one time as a child, my sister tried to stop me from urinating into the closet, and I got violent, and I threw her to the floor.
Oh, my God. Did we know that part?
I've never loved you!
I think I said that before. But, yeah, I've been doing it since I was a kid, and most of the time, it's me getting up to urinate, and it's usually not in the toilet. I have flipped up a couch cushion and gone into a couch.
Yep.
Like, it's a muscle memory that you think it's a toilet. You're lifting up a couch cushion like you would lift the lid of a toilet. So there is some sort of subconscious muscle memory there. But then it's the thing with the kitchen.
Yeah, he peed all over his kitchen time in Pittsburgh. He walked out of the hotel hallway.
I came to in the hallway with just a t-shirt on.
Yeah, bottomless.
Down to the lobby with bottom. Like, I stretched it down over my crotch, but it was still incredibly embarrassing.
And now it's manifesting itself in a new way.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe I've been doing this for a long time and just haven't known, but the other night I got ready for work, and I'm looking over at the coffee table in our living room, and I'm like, who the hell had popcorn last night? There's popcorn all over the floor and all over the table. And I'm like, I didn't have who ate popcorn? And then I texted my girlfriend, did you eat popcorn? She's like, no, I'm pretty sure you were sleep eating last night.
So what made her know that?
Well, I've done it before. I have done it before. I don't know why I didn't bring it up until this past behind the curtain over the weekend.
So she's aware.
It was common.
Yeah,
to her.
The first time I was told that I was doing it was on a cabin vacation last fall. Apparently, I got up in the middle of the night and ate like 5 burgers and a bunch of hot dogs.
Oh my God!
I went ham on some food.
Whoa! At our trip?
No, it was a trip to West Virginia I took with some friends last fall.
Because I know your ass was resurrected by the power of the great Jack Daniels, and you woke up in the middle of the night, and I feel like I saw you wander by, rip off 3 more shots, and then go right back upstairs to sleep.
Yeah, I was sleep drinking.
Mike sleep drinks. Imagine going to bed sober, and you wake up drunk because you sleep drink.
Oh, my God.
Now, on that cabin trip, were they, like, watching you as you did it, or?
Yeah, they watched me do it.
And what is it like?
I mean, I guess I'm just like a, you know, sleepwalking zombie, just doing what I'm doing. I mean, I was the other night after I discovered the popcorn, I went in the kitchen and discovered I'd also eaten some soft pretzels, the super pretzel.
Uh-huh. See, dude, this is what this is about. This is the inner Fat Mike trying to break through.
He's fighting back.
This is the Mike that has to. This is the Mike that has to be locked down while the new Mike is drinking protein shakes and eating quinoa, whatever. You also need to worry about choking, dude. Middle of the night, you're going to get some big hunk of pretzel piece lodged in your throat. You go to sleep, you never wake up. I could also imagine if your girl's wearing some nice strawberry scent, the next thing you know, you're just gnawing on one of her fingers.
Yeah, it's scary.
Chewing on a nipple.
Now you went from sleep eating to gnawing on his girlfriend's
a possibility.
Sleep.
I'm trying to find all the different angles here that Mike's got to worry about. He either chokes to death or he eats a human.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like I was saying earlier, it's like, what is operating the body at that point?
I was going to ask you, like, so how does this process in your head, does it freak you out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing that you're doing this?
It does. I mean, at least, you know, because it's like, what's the next step? Am I going to get in the car and start driving places?
Oh, like, start sleep driving. You start sleep back page posting, sleep hooking up with men.
Yeah, you mean, you hear the stories about people taking Ambien and doing insane stuff like that.
Or the one story Josh did 2-3 weeks ago about the pastor that took the heart medication.
The chloroquine.
Yeah, he took the stuff for
the
a flu.
Cough medicine.
Yeah, he's plunging a blade into his wife over and over again. Yeah. That's the stuff that I take. And, yeah, you got to worry. This is, if it's manifested itself in two different ways. A, you just urinating all over your Keurig machine. And B, making a mama slice pizza for one at 1 in the morning. It's going to show up elsewhere.
Yeah, at least I'm not like, eating raw meats or something like that. And oh. I cook the popcorn and the pretzels. I put them in the microwave and there was salt everywhere. There was salt all over the counter. I put so much freaking salt on these things.
And you just have zero recollection?
None.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I did it during my bodybuilding contest prep too. My girlfriend said I was eating rice like at the counter and the next morning there was a bunch of rice. I'd spilled it all over the counter.
Have
so
you
I was
ever,
shoveling it in.
Ever woke up and you are in the middle of the act of coitus?
No.
No?
No, I have
never
not,
done that? You never woke up in the middle of the night? Just kind of like you get that little hot breath? A little hot breath? Like, hmm.
I mean, I've definitely woken up aroused, but I've never come to in the act. No.
Never woke up and maybe Tanqueray was kind of feeling it?
No.
Nope.
Why, do you have experience with this?
Yes. Yes, I do, Mike. You and I, cabin. Mike Anderson revealed to us recently that not only does he have a sleeping disorder where he wakes up and goes to the bathroom in his own couch, but he finds out that he's been eaten.
It's scary is what it is.
Your body is not yours. Your body has been taken over by your own subconscious.
Yeah, and earlier we were, you know, just trying to figure out what exactly is in control because it's just so weird to me. Like, what is actually controlling the body? Is there a second consciousness that comes awake at night or something? It's just, it's weird. I mean, there must be a scientific explanation.
I mean, I thrash around a little bit. Scott farts. Josh threatens people.
This is just demother me. How about that, mother? Yeah, would you like to demother me?
Oof. Currently harvesting new sleep audio. Yeah. Stay tuned next week.
Nice, 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 nice. Get a good crop. Let's talk to you, 410-338-1098. See who's been holding for a little bit. Mike in Kingsville. Mike, thank you for holding, bud.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
Good. So, my girlfriend sleep eats, and it is the weirdest thing in the world. In the middle, it's usually whatever's on her bedside table, cookies, you know, stuff like that. Usually, like the Chips Ahoy cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And she will wake up in the middle of the night and eat the entire bag. Now, granted, she's like 110 pounds, 5'2". She's tiny, but she'll eat all this stuff, whatever's on her bedside table in the middle of the night.
Dang, she got
but
a whole bag of cookies on her bedside table?
Yeah, because she chills in a room instead of, like, the living room. So there's always, like, munchies in there. And she ate the entire bag. But it's gotten weird twice. The one weird time, she was eating those mini chocolate donuts. And yeah. she poured them on me in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then she just went right back to sleep like nothing happened.
And, like, what kind of state of consciousness is she in?
Dude, it's like a zombie-like deal. It's so weird.
Is she talking at all?
No, I tried to say something. I might get like a grunt back from her or something. It's so weird. But then the other time, she didn't have anything on her bedside table, and she ended up putting one of those giant 500 milligram ibuprofens in her mouth.
Oh my God.
And then fell asleep with that in her mouth, woke up with it all like dissolved on her tongue, freaking out.
Oh, that's so weird.
Oh,
yeah, dude,
so
weirdest
terrible.
Thing in the world.
Wow, thank you for the call. Great call, by the way.
Very good call. Yeah, very
great stories.
Spoken. Thank you. You know, you're
great phone connection.
One of the few people I say goodbye to.
Succinct.
Have a good day, Mike.
Thank you.
Take
That's
care.
You
bro.
Too.
There he
good
goes.
Good showing today, Mike.
Good
shout
show.
Out.
Top shelf work there, Michael. Let's go to Tim in Westminster. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
How you doing, my man?
Good. We're okay.
Hey. So I do some crazy stuff in my sleep. I've locked myself out of my apartment before. I got one of those doors where it locks on the outside, but you can still open it on the inside. I've also, like, dreamt that I'm on Jerry Springer, and I'm shouting, Jerry, Jerry, in my sleep. I've also had a female companion sleep over, and we get in something in the middle of the night, and she tells me, oh, that was nice in the morning, and I'm like, I don't know what happened.
You don't even remember. Wow, you've had sleep sex, and not even remember it.
Oh, it's so strange.
Yeah, I got one of those sleep talks.
Good for you.
There he goes.
There he goes.
There he went. Let's talk to Daryl Northeast. This is where it starts getting scary. What's up, Daryl?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Long time listener. I love you guys.
I love you.
I drive a semi, and I have you tuned every morning.
Yeah, baby.
Scott nailed it right on the head. It is very, very scary. And I feel for Mike, because we don't remember any of this stuff. We don't know what we're doing, and we don't have control of our body.
Yeah.
I pee behind the fridge. I've fallen down the stairs.
Whoa!
I have verbally abused my wife.
Oh!
And I don't remember a thing. I've gotten into my car, put it in reverse, and it bumped up against the little curb there, and I'm sitting there 3 hours later. She comes down, wakes me up, and says, "You're sleeping in the car."
Let me ask you a question. You take any kind of medicine or anything like that?
Other than blood pressure, no. I do occasionally drink, and I think the more you get into a deep sleep, the worse it gets. So I don't know if alcohol plays a part in it. But they do have sleep studies out there where they hook a bunch of wires up to your brain and watch the brain waves. So you guys might want to check into a sleep specialist and get them on the air.
Have you ever pretended that you were asleep just to say awful stuff to your wife and then just pass it off as you sleep talking? Buddy.
Stop cursing.
Take care. Yeah, peace. There you went. All right.
It's funny, though, because the guy that stabbed his wife, I don't remember the story. Did she die? Remember he stabbed her?
She did die, yes.
He took cortisone, which was that blood pressure. It's cold medicine, but for people that have blood pressure problems.
Stocked
and that guy
it.
Said he was on blood pressure medicine.
What?
I'm seeing a correlation.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
This blood pressure medicine type stuff makes you wackadoo.
Yeah. Mike, hand me my Avapro. I'm starting to feel real lippy.
Mm. You're on that, right?
I'd take 300 milligrams of that stuff right now.
Oh, dude. Has your significant other noticed anything?
All of this. Your face.
Granted, we've done no research.
None
we've
at all.
We've just heard two stories.
We're just like... Yeah, we've heard two callers.
One of which
dropped an F-bomb. I got to start paying attention to that.
You're on a heavy dose of that stuff.
They doubled my dose as of 2 weeks ago. Now, by the way, it's gotten my blood pressure back down to 129 over 72.
Oh, thank God.
Feeling good. The nation can exhale. No, we're literally living in a sewer right now, but I'm feeling a lot better. I should start running sleep talk on myself because I'm probably going to say something horrible in the days to come to Buck. Good night, Justin. You, Buck. Let's talk to Megan Pilesville. Good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi.
Hi there.
All right, so this started in, like, high school, and I tried to hide it. I would wake up and walk to, like, different rooms and different levels of the house and take my clothes off at different levels of the house and then wake up naked the next day.
Nice. Hell yeah. Speak slower, baby. Speak slower.
Take your time with this one. Like, when you say a state of undress, are we talking
fully nude,
head to toe?
She
was in high school. How old were you?
Hold on, say it again.
She said started in high school.
I was a sophomore in high school, and now I'm almost 30.
Talk to me about recently, not back then. No Anthony Weiner's in this room.
The legal part?
Yeah, the legalities here.
Go 18 on.
Yeah.
But now I have three kids. Luckily, none of them wake up in the middle of the night, but... Yeah, I'll find, like, sweatshirts or, like, pants, yoga pants in the basement, and I don't know how that got there.
God, what a hell that must be for those kids to worry about mom just standing there at the foot of your bed completely naked.
Does anybody want a waffle? Yeah. Mom's making waffles!
Sleepwalk/drip. Yeah. All around the house.
I go to sleep, and I wake up, and I'm on stage at Fantasies.